United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Family. display is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Space Family Alliance Center. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at FitFamily1.com. That's FitFamily1.com.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes, and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Middle Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a T. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost authority on perfumes and colognes. And once you have experienced Mr. Perfume, you'll be a customer for life. Take advantage of the weekly specials at Mr. Perfume and More on selected fragrances and fashion handbags and accessories. Mention you heard this on Tracy and Friends and receive an extra 10% off of your purchase. Not only that, if your birthday is on a Friday in November, be the first customer through the door on your birthday and you'll receive a free perfume or cologne valued at $45 or more. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Call 330-629-2816.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here just like they did over there.
So now, I'm never alone.
I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home,
or meeting people you can share stories with, you'll find it at IAVA.org. Even if it's just everyday stuff.
Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say sweater? That?
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going.
call to talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I hope you're having a good day today. I hope you had a great weekend. I know I did. And in studio with me, I have Sticks and Mrs. Sticks, and then I have Jeff. Did I say that right?
That's okay.
And then I had Jeff. But I have to say Sticks and Mrs. Sticks because Sticks came to hear me preach yesterday, and Jeff didn't show up.
And you know why?
Because you were somewhere else.
That's right.
That's not the point.
That's not the point.
No, that's not the point. I wanted to introduce my people. I wanted to introduce my people, and you were not there. And it is 10 minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock here on WSOM. The Clowns won yesterday.
The Browns beat Kansas City's behind the headphone number one. Go ahead, turn it up. Okay, I'll take that. But anyway, the Browns won.
I'm trying to do something.
But you know what gets me is they still have a chance at the playoffs. Well, that does not make sense.
Because they're better than you.
I'm not about them better than me.
They're better than you.
Not next year, they're not.
Not next year. Not next year, they're not. Not next year.
I haven't said that for quite a few years.
Did Ben Roethlisberger play this weekend?
Yes, he did.
Is that why we lost?
No, I mean, Ben was playing his butt off still, but I think they got issues.
They got issues. Huh?
Yeah, they got issues.
Oh,
but like I said, they could have won the game, but they didn't push.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how was your weekend? Sticks, you came with me over to New Birth, and I want to thank you.
Got a couple of really nice Christmas parties this weekend, and I came to watch you preach, and that was really nice. My lovely wife was out of town, so I was batching it this weekend.
And your wife, she just got back. What are you guys doing up? You guys didn't go to bed until, like, early this morning.
Till we got home in bed, it was like 3 o'clock, wasn't it, dear?
Yes.
Ooh.
3 o'clock in the morning, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, they went. He picked up from the airport in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah, well.
Okay.
It's a nice flight.
Good. And how's your dog? You said it's cold out there.
Yeah, nice.
16 degrees when I left, and our daughter's doing well.
Okay. And she's enjoying the, she's in Wyoming?
Yes.
She's enjoying it out there?
Yes. She loves it.
She says, I ain't coming back to Ohio.
But it's cold.
Hey, but you know what? That living is good out there. That's good living. When you're out there.
Why is that good living?
It's just, I mean, to be closer than you are.
For example, when she came home to visit for Thanksgiving, there was somebody standing on a street corner, and she just waved out of habit, and she says, oh, I forgot, I'm back in Ohio. Nobody waves here.
They wave.
Everybody waves out there. Total strangers wave at each other.
Speaking of which, I've got to throw something into the water.
Mm-hmm.
I have a major problem. I called to pay my insurance this morning, my car insurance.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know it's due. I do. You know, I do. I know what to do. And I was trying to get some information on, you know, what happens if you buy a new car.
Mm-hmm.
So over the weekend, I had the privilege of going to the calling hours of a woman who her name is Mother Joseph. I'd love to give you her first name. I've never called her anything else out of that.
Joseph, right.
So if she had a first name, you don't know what it is. And I didn't stay for the service. I don't know her age, but she was well into her,
with the years, right.
She's well into her 80s, maybe 90. And so I got to go to the calling hours this weekend, and I got to see some other women who were a part of her peers. And I was helping them park their car because she had, this lady had, I don't know, I can't even remember her name, but she had like 2012
mm-hmm.
Cadillac CTS.
Oh.
Black on black. She's 88.
Wow. Hey.
Or something on that order. She's, I mean,
and
she couldn't back it up.
I ain't mad at her.
So, I had to help her. And so I was helping her, and I got the chance to test drive her car. Jeff, don't turn you up.
Just gotta
tearing my head off. You got to take yours out of there because that's mine.
Yeah. And so I was trying to get you know, I was testing, I was doing her drive. So I got a nice test drive of the 2012 Cadillac CTS. I was like, oh, this is nice.
Did you
have
to take it around a block just to back it in?
Well, no. I backed it in, but then I offered to go valet park her car.
Oh.
See, you know, I did take it for a little test drive because the parking lot was just chaotic. It was just bad. And so I called the insurance company this morning, and I asked them, well, you know, let me find out how much it would be to have a 2010 because I don't buy new. How much would my insurance be? And they told me it would be $170. And I'm like, huh?
A month?
Yeah.
They're expensive.
I'm like, that's a car note. So I said, okay, is it me? Is it my age? Is it my credit? Is it my driving record? Or is it where I live? It's where I live.
Right. Oh, where you live.
It's where
it
I live.
It could also be the vehicle.
That too, but it's where I live too. It's that car where I live. My zip code and my address.
Equals a stolen Cadillac.
Not necessarily.
On a small fee, you can borrow my zip code, Joe.
I mean, you guys.
You don't want to do that. You get in trouble for that.
I know.
I have, and I thought about this coming in today because it's bothering me because the people who are the poorest and or the most disenfranchised have to pay the principal of everyone else. And I think that's so wrong.
But the thing about insurance is it's based on risk. And if you're in a riskier area.
But I'm not in a riskier area.
Oh, yes, you are.
I am not.
Oh, wow.
Because I live in the city of Youngstown.
The stats say that your car is more likely to be stolen than my car.
No. The insurance companies, and I have insurance expert here because she's Mrs. Sticks.
Yeah.
It's they catch you from where you drop the car, not from where you steal the car. So if you steal it in Boardman and at Southern Park Mall and you leave it in Youngstown, I get dinged for it. People in Youngstown don't steal Youngstown cars. Youngstown people don't have cars to steal.
Say what?
We don't have cars to steal. The cars we have, we got hoopties. Hoopties in the city don't get stolen. What we do is we steal them at the mall and they drop them off in the city and we get dinged for it.
I totally disagree.
But it's true.
It's not true.
What's not true?
That they don't have cars in the city.
No, I'm saying, but our theft rate is lower than Boardman's theft rate, but our recovery rate, because wherever you find the car is where they call it stolen and where the risk comes in. Am I right, Mrs. Fix?
It depends on where you live. It's how they insure you as well as.
So I have to move?
It would help.
Hi, I'm South Carolina. How you doing?
What kind of car you drive, Tracy?
I drive just a little tiny, you know, SUV.
It's not tiny.
But is it a foreign job?
Absolutely, it's a rice burner. But if I had my way, it would be a German pusher.
What was it made in Alabama?
No, mine was really made in the rice place.
Got an SUV.
I got an SUV.
Oh, you're in a higher bracket anyway.
No, I'm talking about, I was trying to get a little quote on a Cadillac.
They're more expensive.
A Cadillac what?
A CTS.
Oh, you're crazy, Tracy. You know you don't pay out the nose for that.
No, I don't.
Yes, you are.
Why?
A CTS. Because that's the luxury vehicle. That's a whole different category, girl.
Why can't I have a comfortable car and not
you
pay through the nose?
Get you a comfortable Chevrolet Avail.
I don't want a Chevrolet Avail. I want a Cadillac. I drove a black on black. As a matter of fact, I drove a black on black 2012. I am 2 years younger.
I got a Mercedes for sale. You want a Mercedes?
No. Is it diesel?
Yeah.
Oh.
What kind of shape is it?
Perfect.
It's this.
He
puts it in the bed. That's
what
I'm trying to say.
What year is the stick?
It's an 81. It's white on. It's
81?
White with a blue interior.
Why with the blue interior? Okay. It's a diesel, so
I
it's going to run forever.
I want to natural gas.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I'm convinced on the compressed natural. I don't want nothing. Can I convert my Cadillac to compressed natural gas? Would
sure,
it go down?
You're gonna lose your no. You'll lose your trunk though.
Right. You should drive his truck and then kick it on.
Oh,
that's sweet.
Oh, I'm just having issues. Oh. I think that's called redlining. I just have a problem, and not necessarily because of me.
That's illegal.
What?
That's illegal. Red
it
line.
Might be illegal. Okay, so they call it by another name, but if you actually go up on my rate based upon my location of where I live, then that's still redlining.
But doesn't your life insurance go up as you get older, or if you smoke, or if you drink, or if you have high blood pressure?
Yeah, insurance does.
What's
yeah.
the difference? What's the difference in that, and if you live in a high crime area?
I don't live in a high crime area. I live in the city of Youngstown. We shoot people. That's all we do. We don't steal. We shoot people. We don't do anything else. We don't rape people. We shoot people. We don't beat wives. We shoot people.
So you don't think there's a higher auto theft rate in your neighborhood than there is in mine?
Well, there's nobody in your neighborhood. You want to get two houses and all? You don't count.
Well, Tracy,
I'm going
Tracy,
to Columbia
you do,
County.
You do understand the closer you are to a water point in a fire district, the lower your rate is for fire insurance, right?
Yeah, I do pay more for fire insurance. I pay
right.
more for fire insurance than you do.
Right. Right.
Because you got city
water
and you got a hydrant and I don't.
Right.
Right.
It all goes back to rent.
Because if my 200-year-old house catches on, my 200-year-old house wrapped in tar paper, wrapped in vinyl siding catches fire, it's going to be a total loss. And I don't have a professional fire department either.
Would you get a volunteer
yeah.
fire department?
All volunteer.
All volunteers 5 miles away.
Let's go, man. We got a fire, girl. Hurry up.
but I can drive a car.
Right.
Okay. Hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, Trace. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right, hon. Hey, you know, I just jumped on here to tell you about the insurance. I live in Youngstown, too, and it is a high crime, high rate area because of the most paid out insurance. People pay a lot in Youngstown for cars that get stolen a lot. Your car would be probably a high theft car if you got it. But my advice to you, let your fingers do the shopping. I save almost $300 a year just by shopping.
Okay.
Just shop. Because there's other insurance companies out there, and even if you've been with yours for years and you don't want to leave, believe me, the rate difference is really different if you shop. So that's my advice to you. I live in Youngstown, Trace, and I know that mine was high. And I have a home and a car, so I had the multi.
Yeah.
I save almost $300 a year with the same exact coverage.
I mean, I'm looking at this, and it's not that I want this car because I'm truly, and not because of affluence. I am a BMW person. It is what it is, and I've had a couple of them, and I remember paying insurance, but I still don't remember paying a car note.
They go by credit rating and how many claims you had.
Yeah.
But shop. Don't you just go ahead and shop call other people, call other insurance companies because they're all out there to get your business. And believe me, you will find a better rate.
Okay.
If you shop.
Because I'm looking at this, and what I'm saying is, even with me, I was just, you know, checking it out hypothetically as a wish list. But I'm looking at this, and I'm going, people who are, you know, only 10% of the population is truly a part of the risk and theft element.
Mm-hmm.
Of the pop, you know, 10%. Not.
Consider other things, though. If you crack that car up, it's a fortune to fix it.
Very expensive.
I ain't trying to crack that car.
No, but
not with me in it.
You know what happens. In this weather, this winter, you could slide into something and bingo.
Well, now they rate the vehicles by the vehicle.
Oh.
Insurance-wise, because that's part of my job.
They do what?
They rate the vehicle by the vehicle, by the size, everything.
By the weight and all that?
Collision liability. It's all done individually by each vehicle.
So let me ask this, and I want you guys all to chime in because we're talking about car insurance, but I'm looking at, you know, earlier I was talking about just regular health insurance and all this kind of stuff. You know, we are paying out so much money so often now. It's very, I mean, how are people, you're not able to make a living or save money or accumulate wealth just on the regulations and the taxes and the insurances and things that you're paying out.
Well, not only that. Look at the things that we pay every month that our parents never paid a month. My mom and dad never paid a cable bill. My mom and dad never paid a cell phone bill.
But those are luxuries. Let's come out, because we're going to get to the cell phone, because I got other issues today. But I'm saying just regular, you have to have insurance.
Well, for example, when I was a kid, if you ran off in the road and you run over somebody's fence, you walked up to the farmhouse and you knocked on the door and you told the guy, hey, I run her through your fence. Tomorrow morning I'll be back to fix it. Make sure your cows don't get out. Now, if you run through a fence, it's a hit and run if you don't call the State Highway Patrol.
I'm talking about.
Even if you tell the property owner, I damaged your property, I'll be back tomorrow to fix it. If there's not a police report, it's a hit and run, which goes on your insurance and drives your insurance rates up.
That's what I'm saying.
It's crazy.
Look at the regulations of taxes, because we don't look at taxes as regulations, but look at what we're really paying out.
Well, licenses are taxes too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Look at what you're paying out just to gasoline. I went to Grove City on Saturday, and it was $3.59 for gas. To come
wow.
back across the line to go to $3.29. Can you please explain that to me?
Well, the government won't
you guys
allow
are,
us to drill.
You're still 20 cents. At $3.29, you're still 20 cents higher per gallon than I am.
Taxes. And it's taxes. I mean, diesel fuel in Salem right now is $4.13 a gallon. You go over to Chippewa, Pennsylvania, it's $4.29 a gallon.
I mean, is there anything that's – I mean, look at what we're spending now.
Well, if Shell and BP get their way, they're actually supporting the carbon tax. I guess they think that's going to get rid of old coal, but I don't think coal's going to go so quietly.
No, they're not. I was out in Wyoming, and they're not very happy with what's going on.
I'm just looking at just how what they're doing to the American people and what they're calling the American people and what they're making the American people pay. Just like I said, 10% of the population of the city of Youngstown, and caller, local caller, I want you to jump in. 10% of the population are law-abiding citizens. They go
mm-hmm.
to work.
And Youngstown's a good city.
That's what I'm saying. But
90%.
But you have.
I'd say 90%
yeah.
of the
90%. You just said 10%.
Yeah,
okay,
90%.
Okay,
90%.
I'll even do the 80-20. But I'm just.
Well, we
that's
only got 70,000
right.
in it.
That's all. But I'm just saying, we're paying for things. That and the people and they're more disenfranchised here. The median income of Youngstown City is only $23,000 a year. So can you please tell me how do you accumulate anything when you're paying out more than anyone just based upon your zip code?
Well, my dad said for a long time that you're not allowed to be poor anymore. My grandparents bought a piece of land and they dug a privy on it and they drilled a water well and they dug a basement and they lived in the basement till they had enough money to put a top on it. You know, they didn't have running water. My dad's job, when he was like 10 years old, his job, he got up in the morning, and he went out and started the little engine to run the water pump, to pump the tank full that was in the house. So my grandma had running water, and it was just gravity fed. You know, and that's the early 50s that was legal.
I'm like, you have to have a water bill. And then the sewage bill. You knew that you pay for the rain that's coming down?
Oh, yeah. We got storm sewers and storm sewer problems.
So the runoff, you pay for the runoff. So if there's a lot of runoff, your bill goes up because you have to process the runoff water. So you're paying for rain.
And see, that's one of my things. I'm not a big tax guy. Everybody knows that. But I think that the water and sewer should be rolled right into real estate taxes. I don't think anybody that's forced to be on city water and sewer should ever be allowed to have their water and sewer shut off. I mean, that's just insane to me. That you can shut off. You can shut off something that is, it's like air. You have to have it.
And I'm just venting today. But I'm just having an issue.
Maybe that's the next thing is the carbon tax. We're gonna put a plastic bag over your head so when you don't pay your carbon tax, they just shut your air off.
That's right.
Tracy, do you notice our trash bill goes up $1 every year?
Yes.
You ever notice every year?
Yes.
It goes up $1.
Not only that, have you realized that when you watch the trash man in the morning, instead of them picking up both sides of the road. On regular
they
average,
down and then they come back up.
Right, because in their contract,
right?
the regulation says that they are not allowed to cross the street. You got grown men driving a truck and they can't cross the street.
But the private guys are allowed. The private guys are allowed.
Right.
I'm just saying.
And you want to complain about a dollar a year. Ours has gone up almost double in the last 5 years. When I started providing trash service for the tenants, I was paying $100 a month. Now I'm paying $205.
I'm just saying. I'm looking at what's going on. And I'm like, when we come back from our break, I'm going to talk about right to work and Obamacare, and add that into the soupy mix of what we pay based on my insurance issues. I have a question for you guys. If you have free and reduced lunch, should you have a cell phone in school?
Of course.
Just checking. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be right back.
The Curiosity Shop located in Canfield 224 is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. Officials in Warren say it's one of the worst cases of animal abuse they've ever seen. Three people were arrested and are waiting for their next court hearing after officers say they found 10 dead animals inside their home on Hamilton Street. The five cats and five dogs were found in late October. One dog survived and continues to recover. Ohio is just one step away from new rules that will require youth sports coaches to sit players who show concussion-like symptoms. State lawmakers approved the proposal that's aimed at protecting young athletes with head injuries. Ohio Governor John Kasich agreed to sign it into law. Ohio authorities are looking for information about the unsolved slaying of a couple shot while sleeping 6 years ago. Pike County Sheriff Richard Henderson says the case has been open long enough and it's time to give the victim's family some closure. Jennifer Burgett and Curtis Francis were killed 6 years ago. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming. But Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on December 13th for a special discussion with Dr. Brandi Kelly, Clinical Director at Turning Point Counseling Services, exploring the possibility of reinventing yourself. Dr. Kelly will discuss letting the past be the past and motivating for change. That's December 13th at Turning Point Counseling Services. Find out more. Call 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends, and I'm Tracy, and in studio with me is Jeff Green and Six and Mrs. Six, or Lloyd, and Paula Burt. I want to thank them for hanging out with me and being my friend. I don't know why. And Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in the chat room. South Carolina left. He'll probably be back before the day is out. And I asked a question before I went to break about this cell phone thing because I'm so confused. You know, I'm just having some issues. And as I mull things over and as I'm trying to become a little bit more refined in how we do this, because you guys know that we are free talk radio. And so our lines are open. You're always open, glad to come in and chat and chew with us. And the number that you can call is 347-945-5229. I'm trying to become a professional show. I don't know if we're going to make it, but at least I'm trying. I am. I'm trying to become a more polished professional show. It may never come, but I'm trying. Just
it's coming. It's coming. I get comments.
Oh, ma'am, I would call that professional.
No, professional.
You're one of them professionals.
I'm trying.
I've had several people tell me that we sound just as polished as any of the big guys.
Do we really?
I'm gonna tell you like this. I listened over in Pittsburgh last week to their morning conservative talk. We'd blow them out the water.
Even I want to become
boring.
But I'm not talking about content. I'm not talking about content. I'm just talking about.
No, I'm saying as far as being in.
I want to be professional.
We are some of them professionals.
Okay, but my question: cell phone. I need to know if you get free and reduced lunch. Well, one, how many Obama phones do you get? Is there a qualifying factor? Let me find out. If anybody knows, the number is 347-945-5229.
And let's be honest about this. That's not the Obama phone. That's the Bush phone.
That's true.
Let's be honest. Honest disclosure, that's the Bush phone.
This is true.
And actually, it goes back to the Clinton hardwired phone.
Right. We had hardwired phones for years.
But didn't the government... The government didn't deem that a hardwired telephone was a necessity until Clinton, and that's when it started being part of your benefit package if you were on assistance.
And they didn't announce it on commercials on TV.
But this is my issue. This is my issue. This is what I want to know. Well, now it makes money, but I need to know something. Okay. Is there a certain age requirement?
I thought there was just one per address or one per household. Is what I always thought. If somebody knows better, call, please.
Because my issue is, okay, if mom gets a cell phone, an Obama phone, and she has an Obama phone because and it might be a Bush phone, but they won't understand that, so we got to call it what it is. It might be the Bush phone, but it's called the Obama phone. If we have Obama phones, if the household has one, if mom has an Obama phone, which means she meets the federal poverty guidelines of having a free cell phone. Tell me, please, how is it that everyone else in the house has a cell phone, too?
I mean, I can see if you have a teenager that's cutting grass and goes down to Walmart and gets a pay-as-you-go phone.
Nope. Okay, even if it's a Rebel. Even if it's one of those, no contract phones. But if you've got 10-year-olds, because I was just talking to some people who work inside the school district,
mm-hmm.
and you've got 10-year-olds texting and getting in trouble and talking about phones, and they got their cell phone and trying to keep cell phones out of the classroom when they're supposed to be learning, and you're doing all this with the cell phone, and everybody's on free and reduced lunch. See, free and reduced lunch means
you get an Obama phone.
You meet the federal poverty guidelines to not pay for your lunch fee.
And get an Obama phone.
And that's...
But if you're 10 years old, what is the guideline of getting, you know, do I need to call and get a phone?
A Obama phone. You have to call it like it is.
What?
If you don't call and say, I'd like an Obama phone, you will not get one.
But no, because all these companies send you, please get a phone from us. But my question is, please
hey,
tell me.
Company.
Assurance?
Assurance and the other one, both of them are huge Obama
supporters.
Supporters. So that's why they're called Obama phones.
Medicaid. If you're on Medicaid, Medicare, you're qualified for one too.
Obama phone.
But if you're 10, you're in school. You're in elementary school. You go to an elementary school.
And get an elementary Obama phone.
Parents aren't in charge. We wouldn't give our kids one at 10 years old.
Well, that's a whole other issue. Because I'm trying to figure out how kids got rights, because I never had a right. I spent 18 years of my life and never had rights. I don't understand. I told them yesterday, even when I was drunk, I tried to find silver between the door and the bedroom. What kind of right is that?
You didn't want to go tripping over the furniture.
Absolutely not. Trying to sneak in, oh, no. And then you had to be in there by a certain time. And the time was close enough to 10 o'clock. You see kids now out in the middle of the night. Where are their parents? But that's another issue for another day.
Right.
Okay.
So let's go back to the 10-year-old with the Obama phone.
Hey, it's open mic. I just don't understand.
I'm trying to tell you.
I don't comprehend this. Who's everything is free, everything costs.
No, it doesn't. It's all free.
No, somebody's paying. And then now we're
because the government pays for everything, and the government's got all the money.
Because this leads into my fiscal cliff, and this leads also into my right to work state.
And I heard the lady, she said Obama got the money from his stash.
That's what she said.
8 years ago, or 4 years ago.
But somebody just called Obama Obama Clause.
Yeah, Obama Clause, yeah, Morocco Clause or Obama Clause.
Obama Clause.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he goes and borrows money from China, and he passes money out here, but it doesn't hit the people where I live.
No, it doesn't need to.
But you're the people who voted for him.
Yeah, the people around your house voted for him.
It's the people that you meet when you walk them down the street.
See, so that's why they deserve to pay.
That's why they got a free loan.
Well, I'm just saying they deserve to pay $150 higher for their insurance and all these other things because they vote stupid. And I hate to say it, they're not voting their interest or anything. They just vote, and they vote one way because my daddy told me to vote Democrat. My mama told me. And then the Democrats treat them like doo-doo, and they don't care. I can't believe it. I'm looking at that judgeship race in our town.
No. Don't bring it up because that you get ready to lose half the clerk's office.
That's and then the clerk is going to go to.
And but she don't care because she got retirement. So that she don't.
Well,
care.
She don't care.
But her staff.
Yeah.
Her staff's going to hurt.
Heck yeah.
And they're doing a good job.
They're doing an excellent job down there. Sarah Brown Clark has put that office together properly. She had a performance audit done when she came in the office and made sure that she was cleared of any craziness that might have been going on. And then she came in there and did her thing. Well, that's fine. But look, they're going to remove every person out of office that they can downtown because they tan darker than a brown paper bag, and these are not Republicans doing it.
They're blaming Kasich.
Yeah, they blame the Republicans, Kasich and the Republicans, for not filling that judgeship position. And then, but their party chair and two of their state minion representatives are trying to do everything on that. So, you know, what are you doing? This is the only bit of legislation these guys have done in 30 years.
I don't understand.
Other than trying to legalize marijuana in the state.
I don't understand. And speaking of which, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm trying to, because there were some things that happened this weekend. Last night, I was watching television, was watching CNN. And since Jeff brought it up, the question was, what is black?
Oh, yeah, Soledad.
Soledad of Mine. And so they had Tim Wise on there. They had two young ladies. One identified herself as black, and one that she was non-identifying. And so I want to bring that up. We will do a segment on race. We will do a segment on race, and hopefully we will be able to do it to where we can break down all of the races and their cultures. Because from my understanding, here we're in the Mahoning Valley where we live, we are one of the most diversely populated areas in the world.
Mm-hmm. You know why that is?
Because of steel mill.
Yep, because the steel owners
absolutely
sent people to Ellis Island and said, just load them on trains and send them here.
And they got and that's how you had the project home, Westlake Terraces. They were actually built for steel mill families when
immigrants.
They came here, for immigrants.
Yeah.
They were not built for poor people. They were built for starter houses, for temporary employment. I'm sorry, temporary living for people who were coming here from other places to go to work in the steel mills.
And people,
legally.
And people don't understand, you know, the company house thing. You know, they really don't. They've forgotten that.
Right.
It was another form of slavery. Because if you lost your job in the mill, they just came and threw you out of your house.
That's why they're doing it again in some places.
Oh, I'm just saying. I'm just, there was just so many things that happened, and I'm like, okay, this is weird. Have you guys noticed that they took Jesus out of Christmas?
Yeah, but Jesus has been out of Christmas.
But no, Jeff, I'm watching these TV shows. They got these quirky TV shows. They got 50 Days of Christmas going on in these TV programs, and they have yet to show me one. Christmas was supposed to be the
20 Santa Clauses.
I mean, they got Santa
so
Clauses, Mrs. Claus, reindeer, duck deer, Snoopy deer, bad deer, but they have no Jesus deer. I don't understand.
We even got bad Santa.
Yeah. You get good Santas, bad Santas, orange Santas, but you don't have anything that deals with Christ.
The real reason for the season.
I just thought I'd throw that out there, too.
They're still in baby Jesuses from churches in the nativity scenes.
Why are they still in the baby Jesuses?
I don't know, but they are.
Do they think that's going to get them closer?
Nope.
I'm just looking at some.
Maybe they think if they pray to a plastic baby Jesus, it's going to get them close to the real baby Jesus.
They can't get. I mean, I just. Don't we understand that we are going in the wrong direction?
They're putting GPS on them so they can find them.
On
the baby. They are.
This baby Jesus got a low jack.
Y'all sick.
Come on, y'all. I'm serious. They put a low jack on the baby Jesus.
Oh, good low jack.
Oh, and the number is 347-945-5229. I've also got to talk to, we've got to talk about Michigan, the right to work state. And I want to talk about the unions and collective bargaining because I know many, many people stand on many sides of this. And I'm trying to figure out how do you have all these car manufacturers in the state of Michigan, and it's going to hopefully benefit the auto manufacturing industry in the state of Michigan, because if you know anything about Detroit, where they actually, most of them set, Detroit, when you look at Saginaw, if you look at Flint, where these companies actually are the manufacturing plants actually are sitting, you will find that they are very, very impoverished now because of the exodus of overseas manufacturing. And so I want to talk about that because the people are probably going to fight this. The unions are going to fight this because you're talking about big business. But I'm a little concerned that, you know, I hope they don't cut off their nose to spite their face. And so I want to do that before the
vote. I'm hoping somebody can call in and explain to me why I should be forced to join an organization that I don't feel is in my best interest if I don't want to just because I want a job with somebody. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Well, what it is it's because you reap the benefits. Now, I'll give you a good example of this. Inside of your county courthouses, the majority of your employees are under a collective bargaining agreement in most counties. Everyone except for the prosecutor's office. prosecutor's office, because he is the attorney for the county, his employees in his office cannot be a part of the collective bargaining unit, but they reap the benefits of it. So they feel as though because you reap the benefits of their bargaining process, you should be paying into that system.
If I negotiate my own wages and benefits directly with the employer, how am I reaping anything?
Because you're not negotiating. Remember, you're not negotiating your rates and benefits with your employer. What you do is you come in at a classification, and that classification tells you what you get paid based upon the postings. See, when you work,
does it have to work like that in the private sector?
Nobody.
I mean, see, here's my issue with right to work. If I'm the best forklift mechanic in 5 states, and General Motors wants to hire me, and I want to go to work for General Motors, but I don't want to belong to the UAW, why should I be forced to, especially if General Motors is going to pay me more money than they're paying the UAW guy?
Because inside of the collective bargaining agreement that they actually have, they say that they're not allowed to hire you anyhow, so it won't make a difference.
But if we have right to work, then they can hire me.
They can hire you, and they can fire you also. And,
right, but that's the risk I take when I negotiate my own wages and benefits.
But what happens is, and I want you guys to chime in with this. What happens is there needs to strike a balance. There has to be a balance. And I'm not quite sure if America is balanced enough, because I have seen and been a part of where you don't have any type of representation, and they do use you and then dismiss you. But yeah,
I know that. But how many unions don't take care of the people in the plant anyways?
Most unions
they feather bed for the top two or three officers, and then everybody else can go pound sand.
No, no, that's not true. They feather bed.
That's been my experience.
The problem with the unions is they feather bed everybody, because you got people that should be fired a long time ago, and they're still working based upon their grievance procedure within that is the problem right there.
Yeah.
The problem is they feather bed a whole bunch of feathers with people that don't need a bed, and they should have been kicked out of the bed and on the street. You've got people who don't work who are getting paid just as much as the one next to them who's working just as hard, and they do just enough to get by.
What about all those people, all those Chrysler employees they found smoking dope and drinking beer at lunchtime? Remember that last year?
Yeah, they went through the grievance process, and they probably went to rehab, and they came back and got their jobs.
And then went back out and did it again.
Probably so. And then they got fired. Because there's a process of firing them if it's been documented. There's a process of getting rid of people if it's been documented. The problem that you have is you need to, again, strike a balance. There has to be balance.
Well, see, and I think there needs to be a distinction made between the trades and the non-trades. Because the trades treat their people extremely well because they have a product to sell. And the non-trades, I can't see a reason anybody would willingly join the UAW or the USWA. My experience with the USWA is they have nothing to offer me. Nothing.
I don't know about the UAW. The SEIU, there's my problem. See, my problem is that the UAW has really balanced their way out because of the negotiation process has become better. That's why we still have Lordstown sitting out there. They found out that they can't bully anymore, because General Motors has options.
Well, not only does General Motors have options, three of the five cars with the most American-made content are foreign cars, a Toyota, two Toyotas and a Honda.
But they have options. They have options. The problem that I have is the SEIU, which is your service employees. They are underserved, underrepresented, and they're the ones who really gouge the system where you as the consumers pay for it.
Yeah.
Choose to.
You don't choose to. You don't even pay attention, because when you go to the hospital, you don't realize the reason why you can't get what you need to get is because of the SEIU, not because of Kasich and his issue too.
Well, the issue too thing, I mean,
again,
that was the biggest bunch of lies, and that was the best marketing campaign you could have ever done.
Again, they said the hospital you weren't going to get service, and they threw everybody under the same bus. But that was disingenuous; it wasn't true. But that's the problem there. When you look at SEIU, they right there, they're the ones where they're not actually doing what's necessary for their constituents. They are a driving arm of political campaigns,
mm-hmm.
and they're not doing that which is necessary four people.
And so are the steel workers and the auto workers.
Again, they've changed, Six. They've had to change.
No, the auto workers, the auto workers
has changed because they have learned that they have to work with business.
You get laid off, you get nothing from those people.
From where?
The auto workers and the steel workers.
They do that.
If you're a tradesman, no, if you're a tradesman and you get laid off, you go back to the hall and the hall finds you a job. You go back to the hall, you'll get training.
Oh, that's something, yeah.
But
no.
You get laid off from a steel plant, you're done. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to talk to you until you get another job and start paying dues again.
Now, I'm a steel workers, yes. But your UAW, they don't do retooling, but they do have a purpose. I'm not totally anti-union when it comes to UAW.
I had a cousin in the ironworkers that did not, you know, he passed all the tests very high. He was a good worker, this, that, and another. They didn't train him for it when they laid him off. They didn't train him. They didn't do anything with him.
The plumbers and pipe fitters, a lot of them, they're good. But the other ones,
you're going to have always spots of people that are doing the right
thing. And you're going to have locals that have their whipping boys.
But again,
with everything.
But see, when you're looking at the collective bargaining unit and just as the masses, they have ways of getting things done. The problem is you have to have someone. If not, you become like these call centers. And these call centers are bad. They treat these people bad. They make people do stuff that they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, but, I mean, here's the thing. I understand that they need a job, but, you know, there's a federal government that we have laws on the books that all they have to do is make a call.
They haven't called the right attorney yet.
No,
the right person hasn't called the right attorney yet.
They're not. No, you can't call the right attorney because you agree, as you said. You agree to do this. So you agree that you can't
but
go
you
to
can't that. You can't give up your
I need the job.
Legal rights.
You're missing the point. I need the job. The job pays $10 an hour. I need a job. I have no kids. I do not make any thresholds for getting any assistance, and they have crappy benefits, but they got some. So I get this stupid job. I have to be at work. If I am 4 minutes late, I have to be docked 15 minutes. If I have to go to the bathroom and it's not on my break, I have to stay another 15 minutes to make up for the bathroom break that only took me two.
Under a union contract, I had that same rule. If you were a minute late, they docked you 15 minutes.
But we're not talking about, that again, you agreed to it. But I'm talking about you have not agreed to this. You agreed to it because you need the job. And so if you work the 15 minutes and you get sick in the middle of the 15 minutes, how are you going to tell someone that you can't go to the bathroom?
You puke on your computer.
That's crazy.
No, you puke on your computer to make a point.
Hey, listen, I got to take my break. Diva, I'll catch you when I come back on. Hey, Diva, how are you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm finally home from the hospital.
Very good.
We're glad to hear
how you doing?
Hi. I have a lot of restrictions right now, but it's getting better. So.
Okay, that works. So, what do you have a comment on this, or are you going to wait until I come back from my break?
I'll wait till you come back from your...
From my break? Oh, great. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm just saying. And so I don't have a problem with right to work, and I want South Carolina. Hopefully he'll call back in because he actually lives in a right to work state. But there are some things that you agree to, but they're just stupid. They're just not right. And if you don't have collective bargaining, they'll just tell you if you don't like it, go get another job. Or if you become a troublemaker, they will fire you. You have some call centers, if they find out that you're talking to anyone who is a part of any collective bargaining group, they won't fire you before because it's not allowed, it's against the law, but you'll find your way out of a job.
Old man Seckley down in Salem told his people, you ever form a union, I'll close this place tomorrow morning.
I know that's right.
But I'm just saying. And I'm not saying, I'm just saying we have to learn, because companies are not right. You have major companies that are not right. We have to be honest about that.
Well,
and we need to quit, you know, putting our head in the sand, acting like all business people who own businesses really care about the people at the end that are really making the widgets, because they really don't care. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can flip back to thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
The apps your kids love may be putting their privacy at risk. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
It's up to parents to police what their kids do online. The Federal Trade Commission says app developers should make that easier, but they're not. Of the countless apps aimed at children, the FTC says 80% fail to disclose privacy policies. They don't tell parents. They siphon data from a child's mobile device and share it with a third party. The FTC is urging app makers to do better. They're also launching investigations to determine whether certain mobile apps are breaking the law.
A pair of armed robbers, too young for juvie, held up a young driver in Oregon at gunpoint. 22-year-old Amy Garrett stunned when the 7 and 11-year-olds threatened to kill her if she didn't give them her truck. Still, she drove away and dialed 911.
I was afraid that when I drove away that he was going to, like, shoot my tire or shoot my window or something.
When police caught up with the young thugs, a cocked and loaded handgun was in the 11-year-old's pocket. A Navy Team SEAL 6 killed during a daring mission to save an American doctor kidnapped in Afghanistan. ABC's Ann Compton has more from the White House.
As Commander-in-Chief, President Obama is mourning the loss of one of the elite special ops team killed in the crossfire during the rescue of an American doctor seized by the Taliban. President Obama, who praised the team so highly after its Osama bin Laden raid, issued a statement citing what he called the extraordinary courage, skill, and patriotism of American special forces.
The doctor was working at a remote medical clinic run by a Colorado charity. Drivers getting an unexpected present at the pump. Prices are falling, expert Tom Closa says, for three main reasons.
Prices were too high, particularly on the West Coast earlier this fall. We've survived all the hurricanes, not without some damages, but the refineries have survived it. And gasoline demand in this country, and this is a long-term trend, continues to decline.
In some states, gas prices are already down to $3 a gallon. This is ABC News.
Tina and her husband owed big money to the IRS.
We owed over $50,000.
They were frightened out of their wits.
Oh, my gosh, it was horrible. I thought we were going to lose everything. I thought we're going to jail.
Then it happened. Tina found the expert help she and her husband so desperately needed.
These guys were awesome to work with. They stopped the IRS from putting liens on our homes and our cars, and they stopped them from freezing our bank accounts. They kept the IRS off our backs. We really can't thank them enough.
The team of professionals at Authority Tax Services helped Tina and her husband, and they can help you. Authority Tax Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau.
We saved a whole lot of money.
You too may qualify to get up to 85% or more off your tax liability or for other special programs. So take Tina's advice.
Anybody in trouble with the IRS, give them a call. These are the guys to help you.
If you owe more than $10,000, call Authority Tax Services now at 800-645-1792. Call now for your free no-obligation consultation. 800-645-1792. 800-645-1792.
A Beverly Hills 90210 alum saved the life of a suicidal fan. Here's part of the call she made to 911.
This is going to sound incredibly strange. My name is Shannon Doherty, and I'm an actress. I am on Twitter, sadly, and there is a girl that is threatening to shoot herself.
Police in New Jersey acted quickly, and after notifying Doherty that the girl was safe, they admitted they too are fans. Doherty later took to Twitter to thank the officers. A couple of Colorado University students could be facing felony charges for bringing pot brownies to a class potluck.
When three people go to the hospital and five others are ill, this is no laughing matter. It's not a prank. It's felony activity.
CU Police spokesperson Ryan Hoff, the brownies they brought for Bring Food Day, they were laced with so much marijuana, the professor passed out. Daniela Bellata, ABC News.
I need to control internet usage in my office.
Do you want to pay a fee for every user?
No.
Do you want to pay extra?
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can flip back to thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day.
Hey, we're back and you listen to Tracy and Friends. You know, I had to do it. It's a song.
It's good.
It's a good thing, you know.
Tracy and Friends, Tracy's Neighborhood.
You know.
We're all part of Tracy's Neighborhood.
No, you're not, because you guys pay less than I do.
But I pay more for house insurance.
Yeah, but you don't. No, you pay less than I do. No.
I can visit Tracy's neighborhood. I don't want to live there.
No. Y'all pay less than I do, so y'all ain't my neighbors.
Yeah, but we pay more for our property than you do.
No.
So it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Hey, 611 half doesn't.
No, you probably don't pay less because our theft insurance is our house insurance is high.
Well, not, but ours is not out where we live. We live out of way. We don't want to be in the midst of all.
If you don't have a fire hydrant in front of your house, you pay more for house insurance than you do if you do have a fire hydrant.
But if you live in the city, you pay more for theft insurance in your house than you do out there when you can't find the house in the dark. Because we went to a Christmas party on Friday night. I gotta ask you a question, Six.
Yeah.
Diva, hold on. We're going to get back to the union, so don't go nowhere. But and the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Tell me, what's up with no streetlights? Because I went to a Christmas party on Friday night, and, you know, I don't remember what road it's called, but I turned off of the road going down the street, and the road was only about a mile long. Y'all could turn on some lights sometime. You know,
first of all, you have to understand, when they put street lights in my little neighborhood so folks could walk at night, you know.
Yes.
I didn't want them. I did not want the street lights.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
Because I want to open my window and not have a light banging me in the eye.
Jeff,
okay?
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen. Okay, they don't have to put any. Listen,
I wasn't finished.
Jeff. A street light. Even if it's, you know, even if you pass by and it goes on, you can have sensors now, so that they come on and go off.
If you don't have sidewalks, you normally don't.
You
have
to pay for street lights with tax evaluation.
And actually, out in my neighborhood, on the main roads, there's usually a light at the intersection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm talking about when you turn off the intersection because you got
headlights for that.
Listen, you got to turn off That's because they don't want you to go in the ditch as you make the comment.
She's very urbanized here.
But tell me, Jeff, I went out to the late club. What happens if your lights go out on your car?
Stop. Yeah, you shouldn't be driving.
You went to the late club.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
What's the late club?
That's late club is the old Fond du Lac country club out here.
And they had no streetlights.
She was hobnobbing with the Blue Bloods this
time. Oh, yes, those folks.
Quite.
No, I wasn't.
Quite, sis.
No, I wasn't. They don't have no. Listen, if the Blue Bloods ain't got no streetlights, then they have some issues.
Yeah, the Blue Bloods don't want streetlights.
Why?
Because they got armed guards.
Because they don't want anybody finding their way to their place. They're like those animals that have the night.
You don't know where you're going. We don't want you there.
Yeah, we don't want you in the car.
You can't put Jack in the car.
I want you guys to know something. You turn off the street. You're out in the middle of the country, and you turn off the street, and there is a spotlight on the intersection so that you don't go in the ditch.
Right.
And then as you go down the way, it gets completely that black, dark. The only thing you see basically is sometimes a little safety light that the people have in their houses, if you can find a house. And so you turn down the street, it's completely dark. Then all of a sudden it lights up like a Christmas tree at the end of the road. You can't see where you're going. I don't understand what happens to streetlights. It's a simple 2012.
But you gotta have those light poles to put the streetlights on. There ain't no light poles out there.
Thank you. Light poles cost money. You have to pay.
I got you a Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods don't need. They got night vision goggles like the antelope in the
antelope in the lion. Yeah.
What's that commercial? Geico commercial.
Yeah. Happier than antelopes with night vision goggles.
Well, you don't want them to see you. Commercial. You can shoot them if they're not supposed to be there.
Right.
Oh, that's what it is. That's why y'all want these gun laws so you can like have.
Because we got lighted scopes on our lights. We can see who's coming, and they cannot see us.
Night vision scopes and motion detectors.
I was with my mom, and I said, I'm glad it's not snowing, because if it's snowing and you slide, you don't know where you're sliding because you can't see. And y'all know we're getting older. We got to have glasses. I had to put my glasses on.
Okay. Well, you got to know what you're doing out there now.
What is it? You don't want people out there to
No, exactly.
Don't y'all like visitors?
No, we move away from visitors. That's why we live where we live.
That's why you're in charge
of that.
We
only want you. That's exactly the right. You can't trip over and fall into the pool when it's empty in the wintertime, okay? And sue me. If you don't come to my house.
Something wrong with y'all.
The neighbor kids can't come over and play in my backyard and get hurt. And so, therefore, I don't have to. No, mine that can, because they did. They got stuff out. They was all over my backyard playing soccer and all this stuff. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I'm just saying. I was like, because and what happens is you get lost. And it's like, don't they like do? I told y'all they don't have gas. I had to go all the way from Salem to Camden.
You'd have one more block, you'd have had gasoline.
How was I supposed to know that?
You didn't ask me.
You weren't. Yeah, you were.
Uh-oh. All you had to do was say, Sticks, where's the closest gas station?
You can get an app on your phone for that.
I got an app on the phone. I didn't think about that.
That's what I'm talking about. You are too urbanized. You need to move out and smell the life a little bit better.
It's relaxing.
We'll get you a couple of goats to milk.
You done gone too far. No,
you need somebody, you hire them to do
I'm
that.
I'm suburbanized. I can do the suburban thing. I like suburbia is okay.
That's right. You told me you don't do vegetables.
Yeah. I don't do gardens. I'll pet them. I think they're beautiful. As long as they're clean and they're not funky. They got to have a bath first. Love the animals. Deer, antelope, whatever they are, chickens. I'll look at them. Ooh, cute little love creatures. No.
You know where all God's creatures need to be, don't you?
Yes, in the refrigerator.
Right next to the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Hey, Diesel, 310, your mic is on.
How are you doing, Tracy?
Who's this?
Sam.
Hey, Sam, how are you, darling?
It's been a long time. I've been all right.
That's good. That's good. What part of the country are you in now?
I've been in California for the last 4 months.
Okay.
Los Angeles, yeah.
Okay. Hold on just a second. 267, what's going on, darling?
Yeah, I'm calling from Philadelphia. I wanted to make a comment about what you had said about the CNN, Who's Black in America. And in this special, they were talking about the paper bag test and these other things. And really, in our current situation, type of situation in terms of racially, it's not about skin color as much as it is about culture. And the African Americans really don't have a culture like these other ethnic groups do. And so they still focus upon these things that were common during the plantation days. And that does not apply today. And I think whoever put that special together, they really don't understand the dynamics of race in America today. And these different ethnic groups having to interact with one another. And it's not based on skin color.
Hey, Philadelphia.
I went
to church with Tracy yesterday, and I can tell you she's got a whole different culture when it comes to worship than my church does.
Right.
I mean, because when you say culture, you got to understand we have a culture. The only thing is we have multicultures inside of our culture. And that is the problem, because you cannot define a culture based on the color of our skin. It really is based on a whole other thing called environment.
But what they tried to do in this special, they took a girl from Egypt, which is North Africa, and those are Arabs. Now, among the Arabs, you have people of various skin complexions, and you could bring some of them over here to America, and you would think that they were black people, but they're not. They come from a different cultural framework. So therefore, when you're in a multicultural America, you can't go back to these plantation rules of the paper bag test to try to classify people. You have to look at it deeper than that, and that's something that the host was not able to do in that CNN special, and whoever
put
that special together.
I agree with you on that.
Whoever put that special together, they also didn't consider that as well.
Well, you have to realize the people that put that special together, they really didn't want you to know more than what you got from it. Because honestly, they've never if you really wanted to be honest about digging into race in America, you would have brought different social dynamics and social economic dynamics into that equivalent. And didn't do, they brought a whole world of different hues of color, and they dealt with a certain aptitude of academia.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't really deal with the multiculturalism of the multicultures of people of color. We need to actually start understanding the difference between people being black and then there's people of color.
Because when Africans from West Africa first went into Europe, they went to Britain, and the first wave of African immigrants that went into Britain tracked them over a period of like 20 years. They did better economically in Britain than people that were native born to Britain.
That makes sense. But I mean, if you really think about what was done, and I don't know if you guys watched that CNN program last night. Did you watch it, Sam?
Yeah.
How about you, Diva?
No. When did it come on?
Last night. I was not impressed with it, but then I haven't been impressed with the CNN series since it started, when they do one here annually. And if they really want to do something, they ought to go back to what Tavis used to do. When he used to do the State of the Union, that had a little bit more rich content to it as far as getting anything done. What they did last night, they just did a poof piece to give white people a warm fuzzy.
Yep.
Right,
that's,
of course.
That's pretty much what it was. But as far as to really educate and to change something and to make some serious systemic thinking,
America's not ready for that.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're ready for it. We're just too chicken to do it. Because what it will do is it will take away control. It'll make people think, and it'll cause a shift, and they won't be able to play race in America, and race makes money still. Racism still makes money in America.
Yeah. And it keeps people in power, too.
Right.
I was going to say, do you know who is not ready for it? Doc? Your Illuminist organizations, one, and your Democrat Party, two.
They do not want that.
They don't want
that. They have too much mind control.
How did I know you were going to say Democrats? What?
It's true. They have too much control over having 95% of the population vote one way. The last thing they want you to do is ask you to neutralize race in America, because that means they will never be able to use the race card again.
Right. And until you don't matter anymore, because they're whittling you down by the years, they're whittling down your population, and other populations are coming in. For the first time, Asian Americans outpaced Hispanic Americans. First time Asians. Now, Asians aren't going to play around, but shoot, most of the Asians live on either coast. You're dealing with that, so they really are not going to have any power except for their coast and whatever they can get done by lobbying. But you have to understand, this is big business. Why do you think that Barack Obama pitted the 2% or the 1% against the 99? That's a ploy directly out of Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. It's written in black and white. You can see it. He taught from the book in college. You have to understand who he is, but you don't want to.
Well,
you'd rather just be blissfully ignorant and ride on down the road because he looks like a nice guy. Well, he's not.
Well, and the we're being divided terribly. Tom Vilsack, the Secretary of Agriculture, just did a speech where he said rural America is now becoming highly irrelevant in our political process.
That's what they said.
Which is really scary.
Look at all the red on the map.
Yep. Because when rural America quits making groceries, what's going to happen?
You're done.
And we have to understand that, you know, we have the ability to change some things and to make some things better. We don't want things made better, because if we make them better, then you can't control the lower population, and
right.
That's a problem.
Right, and we've had this discussion before about the Jim Crow laws were meant to split the sharecroppers and the blacks.
Absolutely, they were black and white sharecroppers.
Right.
They were organizing. See, and we said this during the break, and I was just bringing to this union part. You got to understand this union thing. If the unions were not politicized and did what was necessary for the people, then we wouldn't have the problems that we have in the workforce. But because the unions are now so politicized, they're not nonprofit to where they can actually not electioneer.
Right.
They get so caught up inside of the legislative process, they no longer care about the people, but they are a huge lobbying group that they say that they hate. But they're one of them.
I had a union president years and years ago, a fellow by the name of Keller Hearn. He's gone to be with the Lord now. And he told me, he said, when the unions get in bed with the politicians, that's when the rank and file will suffer.
And that's what's happened. We talked about, you know, having these not, you know, you ask about paying into something and not. The problem is your money is going to places that you don't define, and it should not be.
Right.
If they really took the money that was given by the labor and put it back into the people and reinvested it like it's supposed to be and quit electioneering. Because when you find out how much money that was spent on President Barack Obama's campaign by unions, they pay people to go and make sure that other candidate doesn't get in.
You know,
when you say reinvest it back, unions should take the money and reinvest it back into the people, what exactly do you mean by that?
See, if the money doesn't, the money is not retooled back into the people. And when I say retooled,
what do you mean when you say
one example would be a union pension plan. No matter where you work, as long as you work under that union banner, you get years towards your retirement. Another place where they could put their money would be in a union health and welfare program. So no matter what company you're working for, you carry your health and welfare with you.
No matter where you go.
No matter where you go. Those are two huge things right there.
That sounds pretty good.
We don't do that. Those things go directly. If you look at the percentage that is put inside a political campaign, And you have to realize they're disingenuous in their support, because no matter who you are, if it is Donald Duck, the unions will never come out and endorse an open non-Democrat member.
The independent steel workers did with Pat Buchanan was the last one.
Yeah, because they knew Pat Buchanan
and it was the independent steel workers, not the United Steel Workers.
But your biggies, because they can't.
I don't have the exact numbers with me, but I would be willing to bet money, the money that the big unions spent on getting Barack Obama reelected would have kept every laid off member of their unions in health care.
Absolutely. In health care with a stipend.
But you guys also fail to realize that the unions have a vested interest in getting their candidate elected. What has a Republican really come shown that they were? No, Tracy, because you guys are making it.
I'm not saying that they should not support. I'm saying that they should not support either candidate. They should become nonpartisan and they deal with the issues. But they do not deal with the candidates.
Legislation, and not individual candidates.
Absolutely, because what they're doing right now is they go after, they endorse, they support, they actually partner with, and no matter who it is, no matter how up the scale, no matter how down the scale, and what they do is they don't help out the individual people who need the actual help.
Well,
that's why they keep them poor.
The same can be said about corporations, especially after Citizens Unite, because corporations should take their money into putting all their money into campaigns and all into getting their candidate elected, should take that money and retool it back to investing in their employees to make sure that they don't have to have layoffs, that they can afford.
I don't want an employer
throwing at them.
I don't want a company investing in employees. I want a company investing in the work, in the machinery,
Investing in people is good, because you should have an education program, and it ought to be a part of your collective bargaining unit to whoever's going to pay for what, that's going to make sure that you are retooled to do what's necessary so that you can do the job at hand. There's no problem with that. But when you have it to where you are electioneering, and that's what the unions do, the union drives your election process. And if you take the unions out of the election process, you won't have a Democrat Party who is funded anymore.
Understand what you're saying, but you also have to look at it from the other perspective, because if you take the unions out of the equation, then you're going to have an election that is one-sided, because big corporations will make sure that they put the money towards the candidate they want.
Take them both out. Let them both out. Take out the corporations and take out the unions completely. Let neither one of them be a part of your election process.
But that will never happen to you.
And let the people organize for themselves.
Well, see, when it came to the unions were aligned with organized crime for long periods.
Family, your mic is on. Go ahead,
Tracy.
Philadelphia. Hold on, Philadelphia. Hold on. Go ahead, Stanley. Stanley. Philadelphia, finish your thought.
Yeah, what I was about to say is the unions were aligned with organized crime in the Northeast for a long time, and they used the union dues to fund their criminal operations.
Absolutely, and they still do.
Yeah.
We know that. That's true. But what I'm saying is they should not be a part of the electioneering. That's why you had organized crime, and that's why they were so organized, because they controlled the organism of the organized crime.
That's why the Supreme Court made the ruling they did about corporations. But look how that turned out. The union still had more money to put into this election than all the corporations and things that did back Romney, whoever did. But I'm still trying to say, one point, I see this stupid post on Facebook with people saying, Mitt Romney spent $800 billion, but he's so concerned about crushing debt. Doggone it. The president spent $1.2 billion on the election to get it, and he's spending money like water, worse than Bush ever did.
Romney,
and this is crazy.
And Romney's spending donated money and his own money, and the president's spending my money.
Thank you. My money that I don't want him reelected on, and he
hold
got
on, hold on,
anyway.
Hold on. Wait a minute, Stix. Did you just say the president was spending your money on his reelection?
Yes.
Yes, he did. And every president spends taxpayer money on his own re-election because there's an awful lot of things.
You got the bully pulpit.
You got the bully pulpit. You got Air Force One. And it's every president. It's not just President Obama.
Right.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what I find interesting is you've got certain entities out there that are really strong forces in American government and American society, but yet they don't produce anything. Okay, like the government doesn't produce anything, but yet they are in charge of holding on to or dishing out people's money. And then the next biggest one is the union. They don't produce anything. They don't have a company that manufactures anything. But yet they get more money every week, free money every week.
But their jobs are not to produce. But their jobs is to basically
to protect
and preserve a person's rights. And to preserve
but that's not what they do.
The American government is established to provide, bring order to society. The union's job is to provide protection and cover for the employees that are in a set company.
But that's not what they do.
Isn't that the work of the American government, though?
Not everything in America is made to produce something.
But that's not
what America is about. America is about different things, not just production. It's about
you believe that, don't you?
Yes, there's many aspects of America
that's what's wrong with America, what you just said. America is absolutely the place where everything should be producing, not just part of it. And that's why you got this mess that we have now, because you got these lazy behind buttholes out there that won't work, and they got us in this situation where we have to support them because they can't do no better, and they're sitting on the side. Well, you know I can't do anything. I'm not done. You done chopped enough. That's why I blocked you.
Why are you getting all my time?
One at a time.
We're in this position because of these people and that mindset. Everybody produces or you don't eat.
Hold on. Stanley has been waiting for a while. Stanley, your mic's unblocked. Go ahead.
What mindset are you talking about? Are you talking about the huge and mindset of a corporation? You think that without we take out the government and everything, the huge corporation would be the greatest in sliced bread, and we should have a market and everybody would...
Stanley, you're breaking up. Your mic is breaking up. Do something.
Yeah, because you don't...
We're only getting every other word. Hey, I got to take a break, and I'll be right back. I'll leave the mics off and so you guys on the chat room can continue the conversation. But you have to understand that what's going on here is no one is doing their job, and we are manufacturing generations of laziness, generations of can't get anything done, generations that, you know, you can't shovel, you can't even pick up doo-doo in the middle of a field because you don't know how to.
Or the union won't let you because that's somebody else's union job.
And that's the problem. We'll be right back.
We're back.
I don't agree.
I'm just flabbergasted how people on the right love to talk about the lazy people when that's only about 1% of the people who are dependent on the government, on the federal government budget. I mean, 1% out of how many billions of people we have in America?
1%.
Y'all always focusing on 1% that does not
more
work.
Than, 1%.
No, that is.
The people that
it's definitely more than 1% because we have a lot of people.
Stanley,
you're still going in and out, so you're going to have to fix your phone or move or something because we can't hear you.
Yeah, it's definitely more than 1%. You have a lot of people that get government subsidies and they work also. So you could have somebody receiving food stamps.
That's not what he was talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. He was talking about people. He said people who do not work, they don't produce anything. Those who are working.
And in many of these urban neighborhoods,
they currently have unemployment rates that are upwards of 50 to 60%.
Okay, that I understand that, but as far as the people who do not work, who are on welfare cash assistance, they are a part. They only make up 1% of the federal budget. 1%. The biggest part of the federal spending is defense, Medicare, and Social Security. And then you have, after that, the people who do work, who receive food stamps, Medicaid, and so and Section 8. Then after that, the smallest group are the people who are basically not doing anything, not working for whatever reason, and they have to depend completely on the government. Those are the people that they completely always focusing on when they talk about non-production, when they talk about lazy and being a hindrance to the federal government. Even if you got rid of that 1%, our government would still be in trouble as far as their budgets and their deficits. Why? Because they don't know how to control their spending when it comes to the bigger items.
Well, definitely the problem with government spending, but also because of the baby boom generation, you have many people that are going to retire, and they're going to draw from the Social Security and Medicare funds. So, therefore, we can't have any slackers in the system because you have a lot of people that are not paying into those trust funds.
And understand that, but it's not even just Medicare and Social Security. Look at how their spending in defense goes. Look, I mean, not too long ago before the election, Jeff was talking about going to war in Syria or another country, and I'm like, okay, well, we don't have the money. Well, what he said, what was his solution? Put it on whatever credit card they have. See, it seemed like the Republican solution is, when it comes to war, we'll find the money any kind of way to spend it. When it comes to the Democrats, they figure, well, when it comes to social programs or whatever, we'll find a way, we'll find the money and we'll
spend it. Well, Diva,
your numbers are correct. It's 4.1% that's on AFDC.
Well, also, Diva, you just made a statement. I want to ask you a question.
Part of the budget, not how many are on it, but the actual percentage that is part of the budget, not how many percentage of Americans that is on it. Those are two different numbers. But go ahead, whoever was talking.
I was. I just wanted to ask you. You just said going to war. If we spend $1 billion a month on a war, and I'm not trying to make it. I mean, I hate war. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm just saying, is that really killing our budget? I mean, we really, people complaining, using that as a vice to try to get elected, now is not a big deal. Nobody cares about Afghanistan now. But back before when the Republican was in office, it was a big deal. And it only costs $1 billion a month. That's not really what's eating our budget. It's other stuff that eats the budget.
Afghanistan was not the biggest problem because everybody understood.
But even still, we're still bleeding. The bleeding is still happening. Nobody cares now. See,
that's what
I'm saying. So don't be a hypocrite. Say the same thing when the Democrats, you know, the guy that's spending all the money is in office now. Say the same thing.
I'm not being a hypocrite. What you got to understand is the Democrats were not upset about the war in Afghanistan.
The Democrats voted for Iraq too, though.
Let me finish. Except for the far left. The far left didn't want either war. But Democrats understood the war in Afghanistan had to have.
They were in for Iraq, too.
Can I finish my statement, please? We were fine with the war in Iraq. You called us hypocrites. You're saying that nobody cares about the war in Afghanistan. We don't really argue about the war in Afghanistan because we understand why the war happened. It was the war in Iraq that was really causing a problem.
I understand the war in Iraq. 50 million, look, that's a 1,000-year-old argument. I understand it. What I'm saying is that I understand, but Democrats were for it, too, though. You act like it was just the Republicans that forced them in. They were with it, too. What's your excuse for that one?
I think you completely
Can I come back up now?
That would have been nice to hear that answer.
What? Let me tell you what it was.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to hear what she said.
I can tell you what she's going to say.
What's that?
Bush lied.
No, but that has nothing to do with it.
That was not even part of our conversation. The Democrats
voted for it, too. So how do you answer that one? And it doesn't have anything to do with Bush lying or nothing. Hillary Clinton came with the same thing.
Hold on, Jerry. We've been doing this for 6 years now.
Yes.
I'm telling you their answer. Yes. The answer said The reason why they the reason why the Democrats were right with them in lockstep and was going with it is because Bush lied.
Well, then if Bush lied, then why did Kerry lie? Why did
65% of the American people were with
you? Why did all the other big Democrats that had that were on that?
The same reason why their money, the same reason why Republican money is bad and Democrat money is good.
Yeah,
but
well,
the UN came out and said that there were weapons of mass destruction.
Absolutely.
But they didn't bring it out till after the election.
The disingenuousness of our media, I was listening to, speaking of which, this is a good segue into this. I was watching Q&A on C-SPAN last night, and they had an African-American female. She does a blog called Conservative Chick.
Mm-hmm, I've heard of her.
And they asked her a question, and they never asked President Obama what he was going to do in the next 4 years. Right now, we have no idea what's going on anywhere because our media news, our mainstream news in all parts will not do their job.
Well,
I don't care what issue it is, whether it be race, whether it be policy, whether it be elections, whether it be the color of the skin, whether it be Sandy, Katrina, whether it be how things get covered, whether it be – the only thing they give us is what they want us to have, and it dumbs us down, and they're doing the same thing in our educational system with our kids.
Well, they're not reporting that President Obama has more troops in more countries and is spending more money on these wars than Bush ever did.
They don't tell you about the military men
with names and pictures on the news every day. You haven't
seen the countdown, have you?
Nope. No. You haven't seen a name or a picture on the news since Mr. Obama got elected.
Why is that? The war's not over.
It is, because he said it was.
Bush said it was, too.
Bush is different. Bush is a Republican.
Go ahead, Doctor.
Listen, I just pulled up an interesting fact because, you know, we're talking about, Neil brought up the percentage of individuals on the system. The most costly welfare program by 6 points is Medicaid. The next one is SNAP, which is the cash benefit to the recipient. The next one is at 26 million participants. Is earned income tax credit, and at 18.5, the child tax credit. At 8.7 million, Pell Grants, 8.1 million receive SSI, 7.7 receive the state child health insurance program, 5.1 million receive housing vouchers, and the other 4.5 million are TANF. That's the way it breaks down.
I have a question for you guys, because I was listening this morning in reference to the fiscal cliff, and since you're bringing that up and bringing up what's going on and what spending is, do we understand that even if you take the money from the wealthiest Americans, you will not balance the budget and or put a dent in the cliff, and everybody's being disingenuous about this? You cannot overspend. You cannot and not cut. You're going to have to make some hard decisions, and nobody wants to make them. And I really do not want to wait until I'm 78 to retire.
How can you not? This is the principle that works for the great and the small. If you're only making $10 a month and you go out and you spend $9.80 of it, In the first 10 days, you've got 20 cents to live off for the rest of the month. But if you go out and you borrow another, $10 to cover you for the rest of the month, that doesn't mean that you're in the black. That means you're in the red because you're in debt now. And if you keep running that, eventually the coffers are going to run dry. Why do we have such a hard time understanding that about government? The same principle that we apply in our own lives, and we know that it does not work, we allow the government to do that same exact thing.
Because they got Traceonomics.
Well, not just that, Tracy, but if you really look at a lot of programs, if I tell you I'm going to subsidize your rent, and you're doing fine, you don't need my money or anything, but why all of a sudden I come along and start subsidizing your rent for 2 years? At the end of those 2 years, I said, I'm about to stop. Now you're going to have 50 million reasons why you can't make it, even though you made it 30 years prior to that. That's the problem, I think.
Fortunately,
you know, we made it.
Doesn't work like that. It doesn't work for those who don't need it. It works. It's supposed to work for those who.
Well, the problem is, yeah, well, the problem is when someone says they don't need something.
Hold on.
No, you made a good point. See, the problem with the liberal ideology is they want to make sure that nothing bad ever happens. Nobody ever fails. Nobody ever has to go get a job. Everything works to the good of those people. They never have to struggle. Life is about struggle. Sometimes you have to struggle and go out and get 2 and 3 jobs to make it in order to survive sometimes. And in time, that will force you. I know that doesn't sound good, but that's the only way. And if we don't get there, it's over. And it's because of people like her sitting over here. She's very passionate about it, and we're going to be passionately destroyed because she's passionate.
Diva, let me give you an example. My grandfather, during the Depression, ran a tab at the grocery store rather than taking relief. As a matter of fact, there was a neighbor down the street my grandmother didn't speak to till the day she died because they took relief and my grandparents didn't. And he paid all that money back. He determined that he didn't need assistance. Who determines who needs assistance and who doesn't need assistance?
But, you know, I said this. Hold on, Diva, hold up.
Step into the future.
One, Diva, you might have been gone for a while. We really got to do this one at a time.
I can't
afford that. I have to say, this is the resolve that I have. We need to go through every entitlement program, every spending program that we have, and do the common sense thing. If it doesn't make common sense, it shouldn't be done. It doesn't make sense for your kids to have cell phones and to actually be on the free and reduced lunch program. You can't have it both ways.
Can I say one other thing?
Yes.
Not only that, but when you're behind, can't read, and you're in the 10th grade, you shouldn't have a phone either.
That's, again,
you could have a free lunch.
I don't mind you eating, but you can't have it all. You can't be on the public assistance program and not be able to be reached and have an Obama phone, but yet the school doesn't have your cell phone number to reach you for you to come see about your kids. I'm going to pick up some local calls. People who are online, hold up. Local call, you're on the air.
Yes, it's me?
Yes.
Hey, Tracy, this is Big Bob.
Hey, Big Bob, how are you, darling?
Oh, I finally got some freedom here. I've been in and out of the hospital. And the frustrating point is I've been stuck in front of the news, the paper. It kind of chimes in, more local. The Tribune, I believe yesterday or Saturday, had question of the week. And it was, if you had known about Tim Ryan's rep, would that have changed your vote? And the 5 people that they had on there said no. That's alarming to me.
Why?
Well, it was kept out. Did anyone know that happened in August that he was arrested for public intoxication? Did anyone know that?
No.
But after the election, it came out.
But you have to understand, my friend, you've been taken over by a hostile group of people.
Oh, I understand.
Okay, really understand that. These people are hostile. They're not just running and playing politics. They're playing to kill. That's why you're not going to see President Obama bend one iota on the tax, raising taxes on the 2%, that even if he got a whole year of their salary like that, it wouldn't even pay for the government for more than 8 days. This is ridiculous.
It's the voters' mentality, though, that's why he's there.
It's part of our fault, the Republicans, because we don't defend ourselves.
Well, it goes back 100 years to the inception of the income tax. We are being taught to be covetous and to demand that our government steal from one person and give it to another.
And and Tracy said something about common sense, and Thomas Jefferson said common sense is uncommon.
Yeah.
It may be uncommon, but it's necessary. It doesn't take rocket science for you to say, you know, seriously, there are some things we can do better,
well,
and we won't. I went in today to see about a passport. And a passport is $110 now. That's to renew it. But and I've got to mail my passport back in.
Well, a new one is what? 160?
Something on that order. You mean again going back to taxing all along? Hey Bob, call us on the internet line.
Okay.
Hey Tracy.
Yes, Al.
I just pulled something up and this is amazing to me. Have you ever heard of child care and development block grant?
What
probably
is that?
That is a federal welfare program. $5 billion. Low income LIHEAP, that's low energy program. That's $5 billion. Adoption assistance, that's $2 billion. Public housing capital fund, $2.3 billion. Social Security Block Grant Title 10, $1.7 billion. Home Improvement Partnership, 1.6. Universal Service Fund, 1.3. Impact Aid, 1.2 billion. Rural Rental Assistance Program, $953 million. I'm just going through these. I got three pages of them.
South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina. You got to look at it this way, though. I mean, you have people who for generations have been on those programs, but they all are incapable of sustaining themselves. I wonder why.
They don't want you to sustain yourself.
I can see one person being down for 6 months, but you can't tell me that for two and three generations, everybody for 40 years of their life could not pay their own rent, could not pay their, you see what I'm saying? And people still fighting.
We
no, they need it. They got to have it. That's what the liberals, they're going to destroy this country.
People are going to kill this country and destroy it. We got to realize
many
of
those people were caught up in a victim
poor.
Mentality.
Hold on, go ahead, go ahead, Fix.
Yeah, well, let me just run down through this. 80% of this is people who are classified poor. 80% of poor households have air conditioning. 92% of poor households have a microwave. 3/4 have one car, and 31% have two or more cars. 2/3 have cable or satellite TV. 2/3 have at least one DVD player, and 70% have a VCR. Half have a personal computer, and 1 in 7 have two or more computers. More than half of the poor families with children have a video game system, such as Xbox or PlayStation. 43% have internet access. 1/3 have a widescreen plasma or LCD TV. 1/4 have a digital video recorder system, such as TiVo. That don't sound poor to me. Because my kids grew up with none of this stuff.
Hold on. Wow.
There's stuff ugly in the static.
Who's the staticky one out there? I think that's you, 503. Private caller, your mic is on.
Hello?
Hello, your mic is on, private caller.
Yeah, it's Stanley. How are you?
Good, Stanley. Is that you making all the noise?
No, I'm not making any noise. I'm not
That's
doing
your...
anything.
Okay.
No.
You had a comment?
I'm listening to this. Why are we always focusing on the poor people and never focusing on the rich people? You know, I'm hearing what Sixth is saying. So, okay, fine. So we should all dump the poor, forget about them. We should just forget about them and cut everything. That's how it sounds, me guys. You sound like, you know what? Forget about the poor. Let's cut them. Let's forget them. Let's not do anything about the poor.
The reason why that is, Sam, I can answer that. The reason why that is because there are poor people. But then there are people who are not – they're poor in spirit. They are – they don't have the wantingness to go anywhere. And that's the problem. See, you got to realize – hold on, Stanley. Poor does not have cell phones. I mean, we're not talking about – remember, there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people who are poor, and we need to see about them. But there are a lot of people who are living poor who are not poor. They're pimping poor. And as a matter of fact, they're taking away from the people who actually need it.
Don't That's what I'm talking about.
There's the problem. You've got people who need it who can't get it, but you got people who need are able-bodied people that can go out and get a job that can't go because they won't go because it's cheaper to stay home and get free stuff.
See, my problem, Stanley, is I don't want to see my government stealing from one person to give to another. And I'll tell you right now, the rich people in this country are way more generous with their money.
But Trish, you have no problem with corporation is stealing from one order to another. Not you, Tracy. I'm not talking about you, Tracy. I'm talking about Six. Six doesn't say anything when there's inequality between the middle class and the rich people.
No, I don't see anything wrong with the middle with any equality as long as nobody is forcing anybody to do anything.
But see, I have to say, corporate welfare.
I agree with that.
Corporate welfare needs to go. But the problem is, until we understand how to take care, until we educate the people who think they're poor, so that they can organize to overtake the corporate welfare. Corporate welfare will always take care of themselves. And that's why we don't talk about them, because they're always taking care of themselves. There's no one speaking out for the people who are being pimped and called poor who are not.
And there's a difference between corporate welfare and not taking their money and taxes and calling it corporate welfare.
All right.
And see, that's the problem. You can't see, Stanley. See, right now, the poor people are being manipulated by people who say that they're helping them, who are really enabling them to become nothing.
And you guys are being manipulated by the corporations into thinking that we don't need to focus on corporate welfare.
But hold on. Listen to what I'm saying. They're being manipulated by the system. And I'm not even calling the system Republican. Hold on. I'm not going to be called the system Republican or Democrat. I'm going to call the system the system. The system needs you to be ignorant so that they can manufacture and they can actually control you.
Let's look at lower middle class people. Let's look at lower middle class people and their theory on Social Security. Do you realize that the federal government is under no legal compunction to write you a Social Security check ever? But yet we teach our lower middle class people that you're going to have Social Security to depend on, and the Supreme Court has determined that they don't have to write you a Social Security check ever.
And let me break this down.
But Alabama. Go ahead.
Who was that? Was that Stanley or Alabama?
No, it was me. I was going to come up with Six. How come Six, you don't come with the same thing when it comes, like I said, last time, the inequality between the top rich people and the middle class?
Because I don't care, Stanley, because the rich people earned it and the middle class people earned it, and you get what you earn.
Hold on. Now, let's be honest about this. Not all rich people earn it.
If
we're going to have an open discussion,
you got that right.
We got to understand that. A lot of rich people don't earn it. They steal.
And usually the politically connected ones that steal.
They manufacture. See, we have to understand there is legal corruption and there's illegal corruption.
Right.
Legal corruption actually moves our system. But as long as we're dependent on the system and we don't understand how the system works, it always manipulates us and it never moves them. Our problem that we have today is we are being manipulated by the system and we're not getting anything out of it. And we have rich people that earn it, but very, very few. Most of them, a lot of them, have stolen it.
I think we need to determine what's rich and then what's rich.
When we talk about the 1%,
I think we need to be talking about the 1% of the 1%.
We can talk about the 3% of the 1%. Because remember, there's the 80-20 rule still applies,
right,
no matter how
right.
or what level of fluid
right.
you have.
Right.
And you have to understand, a lot of people have not redistributed the wealth right.
And they have
abused people. They have stolen from their employees. Tell me, when I go work for a company, if I come up with a widget and they make millions of dollars on it, they still pay me $50,000 a year.
And guess what?
And I get a $5,000 check.
Right?
90%.
But they say because I work for them, they own whatever my idea is.
Right, and those are the Warren Buffetts of the world. They're not the mom and pop guys. And there's a huge difference in the diversity between 250,000 and 100 trillion.
Your mom and pops are not hold on, guys. Your mom and pops are not getting rich today. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WS.
You see, Diva? Diva, you just saw it. How come you see when the rich people are getting richer, we're not doing anything. I don't care, really. When somebody's working 10 years in your company and bringing something to your company and you're not even giving it any more money because it's been 10 years.
Well, Stanley, how are you able to measure that? How do you measure that, Stanley? Because you always get that one example of the old lady eating dog food and the guy working at the company for 30 years and not getting paid. How do you find these numbers?
I can bring you the numbers anytime. I can bring you something.
Yeah, please do. I asked you 50 times. Please post them on Tracy's page and I'll look it up.
Okay, no problem. I'll please them.
Yeah, but you know, hey, the one thing that Trace and them don't talk about now, and I've never heard a show. They all say they're against corporate welfare, but I've never heard Tracy Sticks or any of them do any shows specifically getting into corporate welfare. Who's
exactly
getting it, how much of it? Never.
Yeah.
I've never heard of South Carolina. South Carolina just printed off all these statistics about these block grant programs. Never seen him print out no statistics on corporate welfare.
Yeah,
so they masquerading like they're against welfare when they're really not against welfare.
He did not look up statistics on corporate welfare, but I guarantee if he was to look them up, he'd find them. It's not,
they're there. They're absolutely there. 90% of all businesses, medium, small, and large, have had some form of government subsidies. You see?
It's like I feel like we're focusing on one part, but we never focus on the other people. We focus on the poor people, but we forget the abuse of the rich people. We're like, oh, it's okay. They own the company, really?
Wait, I'm lost. Hold on. So you're telling me Alex, he's a conservative too. He's a whatever. I don't know if he's on here. He calls up talking about corporate welfare. I mentioned the sugarcane people in Florida. One day I called up as far as they're making hundreds of millions of dollars and paying people less than minimum wage. I mean, they're stealing, robbing people. I've mentioned that. I think that needs to be stopped. I think farming, if you look at farming as a subsidy, they once they brought these subsidies in, especially with chicken and livestock, they took it over. Now, it's very rarely will you find an independent guy in farming using these subsidies, making money. Most of the time, you say you want to do something, the corporations come in, plop the stuff on your land, and they use your land, and you pay people peanuts, and that's how it works.
What I had called in for when South Carolina was doing it, running off the statistics about the block grant money. Now, you're talking to a person, man, who has been elected official, so I know how all of those quasi-governmental agencies work, you know, where they connect that in the communities. These agencies, man, the money that you think is actually trickling down to these people is not. These agencies create middle-class white jobs, and most of them stay in the suburbs, and guess what? Most of them is Republicans. Now, I'm telling you what I know, not what somebody told me. These quasi-governmental workforce skills development programs, block grant programs,
Here's the problem you run into. Here's the issue you run into when you make that comment. You see, the nasty little secret is a heck of a lot of white poor people get those same funds, but I don't hear you saying about nothing about that. There are more white people on welfare than there are black people on welfare.
No, you
but
brought
you
it
focus
up.
On the black people.
But you yeah, know,
no,
you
no,
brought
I,
it
I brought
up.
A, I brought up the system. Didn't say nothing about any black.
You named off all of those different programs. The context was
just,
in.
The context was how much money.
Okay,
that
but
was
what you're saying,
used.
I run into a problem. I'm not running into a problem. I'm telling you the facts. That they're white, they create white. I don't care who the end beneficiary is. I don't care who the end beneficiary is. They create
white
middle class jobs that stay in the suburbs, and most of them that are in the suburbs are Republicans.
Dude, guess what? If you live in a country where
you're
only 12% of the population, if you live in a country where there's only 12% of the population, guess what's going to happen? Yeah, the majority of those individuals that's controlling that situation or working in those administrative offices are going to be white or whatever color the majority is. So
okay,
you need to get
so
off
that's
of
not,
man. Come on, be realistic about
well,
it.
But you all are looking at welfare from a perspective of, from actually from the bottom end of it, right? Seeing somebody getting a free pack of cheese or a pair of socks or a toothbrush. That's the bottom end of it. That where the money and everything is and the resources are flowing is in the middle tier of welfare, which is
well,
a system
on,
to create
hold on, hold on, hold on, no, Michigan, let, okay. let me ask you something. But I think what Tracy just said a minute ago before she went on break was that all the government programs, military included, need to have a common, I don't think it was Tracy, somebody else, all government programs need a makeover, not just food stamps and welfare, but all government. And I don't think nobody on this phone would be against that, because that includes everybody that's complaining on this phone about one side and the other person complaining about the other side. Everybody's saying all. And I think we can slice out 60% of our spending. I believe we can in waste.
You
I bet
know,
we could streamline. Then we could take that other 60%. We don't have to raise taxes. We could take that and really help the NP. And you know, I'm going to tell you something sad. These people from Harvard and Yale, you don't think they know this? They don't care. They're trying to fatten their pockets.
Right. Well, just like I told somebody else about this whites believing independent schooling and school choice, right? I promise you, if blacks took the position that they were going to go with this independent school choice thing and set up the infrastructure where they started the schools, hired the teachers, gave out the busing contracts.
Hold on a second. Let me tell you something.
For white folk again. Now you cut me off, man. I was almost finished. You're gonna see how this big black push for school choice, they gonna nip it in the bud. They don't want to go to killing public education altogether.
The black now, folks wanted it, and the black folks wanted it, and the black leaders like Jesse Jackson and all the rest of those folks up there made sure they didn't get it. Obama doesn't want a black boy or a black little girl to be able to go to a school that they choose, their parents choose, because he's so in bed with the damn unions.
But we
that's
know interest groups
want
run the government. Wait a minute. We know interest groups run the government, whether they white
but
or black.
But
Interest groups run the government, whether they white or black. That ain't nothing new.
It's not the white black child shouldn't go to a private school.
That's why you keep now. That's where the foolishness, the foolish thinking is. I already told you. Go to a situation where the blacks start the charter schools and able to hire the black teachers and the black food service contract. The entire culture is going to want to kill public education. And no more charter schools.
I can go right to Charleston.
Now, if you don't think that,
I can go right
that's your
to
fault.
Charleston, South Carolina. You have the school was started by a black army major. It's been in existence for 12 years.
You're talking about one example, brother. I don't know why y'all keep looking at one example and think that's the norm.
I'm trying to figure out why y'all arguing when y'all basically on the same side of your opinion.
No, we're not.
Yeah, y'all are.
Where is he different, Michigan?
Huh?
Where is he different? Because I think everybody's saying school choice is best. So where is he different?
Well, I'm arguing from the position of, see, in other words, he's coming from the position of, everybody
I'm
has
coming from
the same
a white
position. Yeah. Well, you definitely are coming from a white
that's
position.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the problem. You don't understand that in this country, that what benefits all of America benefits all of America. It doesn't just benefit.
You see what I'm saying? You see how silly that is?
You see how silly that
sound, man? It's almost like this. It's almost
dude,
like
dude,
this.
12 cents on the dollar on gasoline was not going to affect just white people. It's going to affect black people as well.
Yeah, well, you talk
okay?
about that side of the.
No, I'm talking about laws being made. Unless a provision is made and says that a black person does not have to follow this law because of the virtue of the color of his skin, then that's the only thing that will affect him.
Okay.
Otherwise, he has to abide by the same rules and regulations in this country.
Okay. We'll agree to
disagree. Anything else is his own fault.
You know,
we'll
gonna,
agree
it's,
to disagree,
it's the truth. It's not agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Because if a black man, if a black, let me get different, if it's white or black. If you break the law, you break the law. Whether you get caught or not.
Now,
you,
now you're going into all other areas where we were specifically talking about economics and the
dude,
general
I'm talking about life. I'm talking about just general life, and you know it's the truth.
Man. Yeah, but
you don't know that,
man. But let me try to add you something. You said if a white, if you're white and you break the law, you're gonna have the same. You're gonna be arrested the same way as a black
guy.
You
know that
I
ain't true either.
Stanley, you're lying.
So Stanley,
if I kill somebody, if you a white person kill somebody and get off, but a black man go to jail.
What I said was this.
Alabama. I promise you, Alabama, you might think this is a joke. You can go and find statistics where whites have actually killed and have not went to prison.
Dude,
I didn't say drugs. I said killed. And the sentencing
Different. What I said was this. Now listen to me because I want you to understand what I said. I said, whether you are black or white, if you go out and you murder, you still have broken the law. Whether you get prosecuted or not, you still have broken the law. And
that's
the thing that you're not acknowledging.
But you've broken the law, but you don't have the same sentence, so I don't care.
That's not the point, Stanley.
Yeah, but that should be the point.
You missed the line.
How many people going to kill?
Oh, man, come on now.
But that should be your point, South Carolina. It ain't the point with you, South Carolina, but it should be the point with you. That's the problem. That's the problem, South Carolina. It ain't the point with you, but that is the point, and it should be the point with you.
It should not be the point. The point is, black is right and wrong is wrong. A black man breaking the law is the same thing as a white man breaking the law. If a white man gets
caught, South Carolina,
prosecution or non-prosecution still does not absolve the person that they broke a law, period.
Yeah, but South Carolina, let me ask you something, just to give you a perfect point. When O.J. Simpson went away, when O.J. Simpson did his defense and everything, what do you think
I give a damn about?
You think black people clapped at him because he thinks he's
Getting
murdered?
Okay.
We can't talk. So there's no injustice for you, South Carolina. You're a black person. You're walking the street. You're not going to get injustice. You're not going to get arrested because you're just black. You're not going to get chewed out just because you're black. So South Carolina, explain me that when a white guy was trying to basically have his last day as a bachelor and was celebrating his bachelor time with and was in the car and everything, how come the late bachelor were shooting him 50 balls? How come the cops were shooting everywhere in his car? You think a white dude would have shot 50 rounds of munitions to this guy? Really? Come on, man.
Stanley, I hear your point, but let me ask you a question. So you're saying that, and I'm black, and I'm from the hood just like a lot of black people are. I myself, a stupid thug tried to shoot, kick my mom door in last night. And if I'd have called him, I'd have blew his brains off. So I'm sick of everybody making excuses, poor thug with his pants hanging off his ass, and everybody feeling sorry for him. I'm getting sick of that. I'm sick of every time I cut the TV on, I see everybody running around with their shirt on, musty like you ain't brushed your teeth, and that's the only way black people are. We as black people don't ask for higher standards ourselves. We don't respect ourselves. So we worried about somebody else coming up and looking at us and sizing us up with our pants hanging 2 feet below our waistline. I'm sorry. If I caught that to see, I'm a little upset about that right now. So when I hear stuff like that about being arrested, they probably would have raped me, but I swear I'm glad they went to jail. You trying to kick my mama house open while she in there by herself.
Okay, guys, hold up. Slow. Whoa. I'm back.
Wow.
I'm back. But you got to understand, I have to agree with what I heard. Alabama on it, because I saw a young man yesterday, and he got a little dog, and the dog, you know, upchucked. And the kid is 19 years old, and he didn't know how to pick up the upchuck. So how can he go get a jobby job? With his pants busting around his butt, got dreads going down his back, and looking like a little thug with bad tattoos on his arm. Is that profiling, or is that what?
Yeah. We're the only community that glorifies that, though. We're proud of that. You're a real man. I'm a real street. You know what? E-N-I-double-G-A, if I'm tatted, I sell dope, I put in work, I shot a cat, I did this, they're proud of it. So, I mean, I'm sorry, like, if a cop, we're the only culture I know of that is proud of it. Like, we brag about, I mean, that's killing our families, that's killing everybody. We gotta get our own people in order, man. We ain't got our fathers in the house, so
but
you got young men running around doing stuff like this.
But the main reason why they're proud of it is because black culture has become, because the street culture has become the black American culture, and even in the past, the black American culture was built around a slave culture.
But can I ask
this?
Yeah. Why can I ask this? Why did we allow it to happen? Because,
I
want to get this out. I just want to know why did we, because, see, what I don't understand is, and I say this, I had no rights. The only right I had was the breed. And I don't know how we got here from where we came from. Go ahead, 269, because you ain't said, I ain't heard you all day long. How you doing? How was your weekend?
Pretty good. How about yours?
It was good.
I just got to argue with South Carolina. You still on the phone?
Probably so.
No, we would argue. But let me say, you know, I think this is the part of the conversation where we get around the gurney of the black community, this thing called the black community, and it's got four or five different types of councils, right?
Yeah.
And everybody think they, you know, this is how we got the council. You see, the difficulty is of trying to, you know, chronologically diagnose what happened to the black community. I think this is where we get into the argument matches at of who diagnosed it right, and you're talking about a patient basically that's on his deathbed.
But see, you're right. We're on our deathbed, but we don't have to die. And I know you and I disagree with that.
Yes, we do.
And what I'm saying is, when I look at what's going on with the entitlement mentality of America, we are in an entitlement, and we used to blame it on black folks, but now it's not black only. It's everybody. Everybody's in an entitlement frenzy that we believe that everybody owes us something, and if you don't give it to me, then I'm going to go steal it. We don't educate. We leave people to die on the street. We see people getting robbed and getting hurt and getting hit, and what we do is we pass them by. And we have taken out all responsibility from everyone. Parents are no longer responsible for their children. That's crazy.
That's culture.
That ain't culture. That's crazy. If you bear a child, you should be responsible for the child and what you bear.
I got one for you.
Yes?
I got one for you. We just had, you remember last year where they caught all those people at Chrysler? Outside getting high and smoking and drinking during their break and
I remember that.
They all got rehired.
See, that's what,
they all went back to work this week.
Can I ask you a question?
Hey, smoking a little joint don't mean you can't screw on no.
No, they
boat.
Weren't smoking a joint. You talking about the joint smoking or beer drinking?
That's why
both at the same time.
Why my beautiful Chrysler product, which I really love. I can't even get this radio station because there's a ground loose in the radio somewhere. Because they're talking about this smoking dope at lunchtime and drinking.
But see, so going back, that goes back at the right to work. I mean, do we understand? That's crazy. How do you get their job back? What kind of grievance could you have filed? What kind of grievance could you have filed?
They got glaucoma.
I mean, seriously.
Listen, man. Listen, Michigan man, we have to get in the community and shut down this bad behavior, because the bad behavior is killing us. Wait a minute, where y'all at? Just cutting across like that. The fathers of the bad behavior are the political structures that come in there and promise you a check. And that's what they do. They get your vote, they get in power, they give you checks. You get like the, oh, well, they're going to give me that $200, so I don't have to worry about that, so I'm gonna just relax on that, and I'm going to go do something else. And I'm saying, look, forget that. Don't let them be the masters of your destiny. Be your own master of your destiny.
I don't understand how we can go out and reward pot smoking and beer drinking and call it poverty. And you can have babies without any responsibility, and they're going to be taken care of. No one says anything, and it's okay. And we're not outraged by it, but we want to tell the top 1% or the top 2%, pay for my indiscretion.
But Tracy, how could you ask for people to be like this?
Who is that with all the noise?
I don't know. Stanley, is that you?
No, that's not me. I didn't move. I didn't do anything.
No, I need you, because I can't hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. You're saying that we're not basically looking at the things that entitlement and things like that. But like I said, Tracy, when you take out the hope, when you take out injustice, when there's no unfair, when people feel there's unfairness between the people that are supposed to be the example of society, it's going to run amok. Well, how can you come to people and say it's going to rock them up? How can you say to people, well, you know, you shouldn't steal somebody who has $5,000, but you have the top people who are stealing people for $20 million?
Hold on. Let me say this. Because when you actually get your brain back, then you're no longer concerned about what other people have. You go get your own. But right now, we've been conditioned to go get someone else's. And we feel as though we're entitled to it. We're entitled to everything we get. And the problem that we have is we have breeded entitlement. We have given our young people entirely too much, and they think that somebody owes them something, and they don't have to work for it.
You've just made my perfect argument for getting rid of the income tax.
Pardon me?
Can I add a point?
Yes.
Somebody was just talking a minute ago about bad behavior and stuff like that. Like,
that was me.
To be quite honest with you, I honestly feel like we reward bad behavior. We feel sorry for people that have bad behavior. That guy that tried to kick my mom's door in last night, saw her car parked right next to the window. What was he going to do to my mom last night? I could have been, my life could have been changed last night. This guy tried to kick the door in. That guy, if I catch him, he does not deserve to be free for the next 40 years. That's what I'm saying. Like, if we make excuses for this type of behavior, and when I hear stuff, I cannot feel sorry. So when you don't hear any compassion in my voice, it's not that I don't look. Had he had a shot when his dad was in the house, fine. But now he's too old. And if I could kill him last night, I would have killed him. And that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We got a lot of that in our, and we don't speak on that and deal with that. I'm sick of, look, I've been hurt by black people 90% of the time.
Right.
Those are the people that have stepped on my back and done things to me. It's black men, black people. I've dealt with white people in business and black. The ones that have stole, the ones that have cheated have been black. I've had white dealers, too, that done stuff. And that's the thing, like, everybody want to point to white men. That guy last night, if I sat him down and had a candid conversation, it's somebody else's reason why he's trying to kick my mom's door in.
Let me tell you why he was trying to kick your mama's door in.
Because
he either wanted to steal something, he wanted something, and he felt as though he could get away with it because your mama was older. And it's probably somebody that she knew from the neighborhood where she lived, and they was paying attention because they knew they was bad enough to go in there. And they're the ones who move us out of our neighborhood.
I certainly wouldn't make no excuse for nobody that's doing something like that or none of the bad behavior. I haven't heard anybody on the phone, Alabama, who would make an excuse for, you know, that type of stuff. I guess we're just trying to agree on you know, what happened, how'd they get there, and then I don't even think we disagreeing on what the punishment should be.
Man.
So, you know.
Because, that's what
that's
I'm saying.
What I see. Yeah.
Let me say it like this. If my mama has gone on to be with the Lord, and so is my dad. But if they had kicked that door in, or they kick in my door while I'm in there, they're going to weigh a little bit extra when they pull them out.
Right, right. Yeah, that's understandable.
That's my point. You don't come in my house. Right. You learn boundaries. And this is what we're not doing, and this is what they are replete in allowing you to do. The government.
Hey, Jeff?
Yeah.
And the thing that's more disturbing than that is the fact that if someone goes in the house and the neighborhood knows about it, and the cops come to ask, everybody could not snitch.
Well, listen, the reason, now hold on, South Carolina, I got to say, from what I am finding out from hanging out after my cousin got shot, I don't blame him for not snitching, because, you know, these kids watch entirely too much TV.
Hey, Tracy, I'm going to tell you like this, okay? They don't have to snitch, but if I find out who they are, I'm just gonna have to have a flashback and take them out of 200 yards. And that's the bottom line.
But see,
I mean, I've dealt with people like that too many times, Tracy. Where it's those guys, the guy that kicked. He probably is a guy that you would see on the street, and you could talk to. You wouldn't think he was that type of guy, but 4 o'clock in the morning. He feels like he can do that. He gets sympathy. I bet he knows how to get on all the government programs. He knows how to do. People like that get on my last. I don't even want to look at them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to look at them. I don't want to have nothing to do with them. I don't want to touch them. I don't want them around my family. And if they do something to my mom or my family, I promise you, I will go sit in jail happy with a smile on my face as long as I get even.
No.
I had a brother took out on the streets in Youngstown, so I'm not saying that I don't want getting even, because if I had put my mind to it, I could have easily done so.
That guy has family members too, though. I'm sure his family members would have felt sorry for him had I blown his head off last night. You know what I'm saying?
My point is this: if you're defending yourself, it's one thing, but you know, for us, you know, and I don't know, you know,
revenge
the believers. Stuff. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So he'll deal with it. Just get him arrested, and it'll all be fine.
Let me say this point, Jeff. I see what you're saying. I'm a Christian just like that. I know that sounds funny coming out after I say I'm going to hurt somebody.
Being
a Christian is one thing. You ain't finna come in my house and hurt my piece, somebody I love. And I sit there and be like, oh, well, I'm going to give you. And I'm going to tie you up to a tree and put fire on you and leave you up there for 2 weeks and let you die.
Hold
that's what I'm going to do. Because that's how I feel about my family.
Hold
that's how
up,
I love my mom
you know,
and my family members.
Hold up, Alabama, hold up. But, you know, I ain't mad because I think a man should defend the honor of his family. I understand that. I do. And I'm with you on that. I need to pick up a couple calls, but I understand that. You actually want to defend the honor of your family, and you feel violated because even if somebody comes into your home and you were not there and they steal something from you, you feel violated because you stole something that was mine. Push past, Boussard. Push past, because I need you calling in and giving me your thought process. I don't need another conservative going sitting on down.
We don't have that many. There's a collect call from the Suffolk County Jail.
Yeah, I don't want that. So you chill out. Hold up. 518, your mic is on.
I'm just listening at all these murderers and killers on the phone right now. You guys sound like you've already killed before. I'm a little scared for my life.
Well, I mean it's not that, man.
You never know,
if I catch you, hold on. If I come in your wife, I don't know if you're married, but if I come in your house and threaten your wife or your mom, somebody that you love, it will turn me into that. And I make no apologies about it because I feel like all of us on this phone. If I attack a person, a lot of women, you attack a woman and she walking down the street, she'll be afraid. But threaten her child and watch her whole mind frame change. She's not going to be afraid. She's going to be like, I have no choice. That's the way I feel about a lot of these street. And when you cut the TV on, that's why I'm not so proud of Rick Ross and all these bragging on drugs and but you're bringing it in our communities and creating these monsters that are on these drugs. Your customers are kicking doors in so you can ride around with rims on the car. And they're raping people and doing stuff to people's moms. People have raped. I know people whose moms have been raped and killed in my community. And I'm just saying, like, I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, we see it. There are repercussions to bragging about moving burbs and moving keys and that stuff. It's not just, you just don't get the key and now you got your money. You get that key and somebody breaks it down and bam, here you baking salt, baking soda, next thing you know, somebody kicking a door in and killing somebody's mom that, you know, who has never touched any or hurt anyone. But you want to break, you see what I'm saying? You can't do it. We mad at white folks instead of people like that. You see what I'm saying?
Alabama,
you know,
but let me
say
this. Let me throw this. But you got to understand, we have been conditioned. And that's where we got to go back to our original conversation of the mindset and the process of the conditioning of the media and of the system inside of our community, for one, for us to be in the situation that we're in today in the black community and in the impoverished areas. See, drugs have been, that's why they're trying to legalize them. Why in the world, I think I heard a news report at the top of the hour and somebody got so high he passed out in class. We have to understand they need for us to be altered in a state of mind so that they can actually continue their program while we continue to stay asleep. So we will not question authority, because you can't have a representative government and actually have it functioning as it should when everybody is actually thinking. And they don't want you to think. They don't want you to know anything. They want you to just to follow and do as I say. I need for you to be slaves to me. I need you to be incarcerated, to be doped up, or be on your way, and to keep, and actually, those 20%, I need you to continue to police your neighborhoods so everyone else is in fear, so no one can get ahead. They need that. And what it's doing, it's dumbing down
the
American people. The system.
The
system. I keep on saying, the system is the they.
Oh, okay.
The system is the
they. Addresses?
Absolutely, but the they is actually working. Because remember, most people who actually think they're leading are actually following.
But many of the people in the urban communities, they want to stay within the status quo. And the powers that be, allow it to happen, and they leave them basically in a state where they're uneducated and they're not employable, and they keep them in that state. And they don't have the incentive to rise above it.
But what I'm saying is they have kept you. And when I say this, you look at the people that are in Congress. Most of them are followers. They're not leaders. You think that you have somebody representing you. They're not representing you. They're representing someone else's interest that they don't even know about.
But they're stupid enough. People are stupid enough to be herded into these things. Like, I feel like this guy, he needs to take the responsibility. And I'm not trying to bring it back to my mom and my situation, but people like him,
he
needs to take full responsibility. I'm not going to feel like, okay, well, I understand your daddy wasn't there. Look,
my parents got
a divorce.
Can't.
My dad cheated on my
mom
just like
everything,
but
even
still.
You can't.
They got nothing to do with it.
You can't, because they have conditioned these young people to be as desensitized so that they can be robotic.
But what you going to do with a guy that's 25 years old that thinks like that?
Because they don't care. You're going to either go one way or another. You're going to go with a cap in your butt from somebody else in the street, cap in your butt from you because they caught you coming out of your mama's yard, or I'm going to put a cap in your behind inside the prison system.
Can somebody now read the eulogy?
Hold on. 261, your mic is on.
Got the helicopter, but it only
lasts
like 10 seconds.
Paul.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, you know, since y'all was talking so much, I had to find something else to do in the meantime. But
nevertheless, you better pay attention, man.
Y'all were just sick and tired of talking to one another in jail. Crazy, when you went to jail, were you in there smiling?
I don't know if I smiled. I thought I was pleasant.
You tell like my one caller said, you tell them murderers who could kill somebody for this that they would go to jail with a smile on their face because they're lying.
No,
you,
no, 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 no,
they ain't.
Now, come on, Paul. Listen, as
Paul.
Much as you smile, I can see you still grinning walking in. As a matter of fact, my mugshot got a smile. Yeah, they do. You know,
Paul,
I make sure.
Paul, you ever been to
prison? If I shot somebody, everybody know. If I shot somebody, you never know about it. Because I ain't the type to call the police
Paul.
After I shoot you. I ain't going to brag about it.
I heard that. Now, I'm with you on that, Paul. But
I'm not going to brag. I got too many rules in my backyard.
You ever visited a prison?
All my life. My dad been in prison all his life. That was our summer vacation.
Okay, well, this is my point. Those guys in that prison have made an alternate lifestyle for themselves because for many of them, not all, but for many of them, they are doing much, that's South Carolina, they're much more, have a much better lifestyle inside than they do on the outside.
That's the ones that don't have anything.
Three hots and the cot, nothing else.
Well, is that only three hots and the cot? They still have the drug industry live and well inside of prison. And many other things, black market, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
It's a whole world to itself.
Wait, this is where we get back to what you guys were talking about, entitlement. Why do we ask the rich? Because most of the rich are involved in all this organized crime, made all the money. Now it's time for them to put something back into the system to keep those people that really want to work legitimately back on the workforce again. And you don't want to tell the truth.
But no, it's not going to happen, Paul, because if they take that money, it can only run our government for 8 days. So what the heck do you think it's going to do? What do you think it's going to do to that person?
I'm going to get it.
That's South Carolina.
I'm going to show. I'm going to jump out of Dutch. I got no regret. And I'm going to kick your ass.
No.
I got problems.
That wasn't...
That's
Paul. Hold on, I gotta get out of
there.
You
gotta find that number. Turn it.
Paul,
into
is that you?
Police.
No, you know it wasn't none of me. he got angry. Hey, I'm patient. I've been married for 37 years. I'm patient. I know how to hold. But nevertheless, like I said before, don't joke about going to jail, killing somebody over a piece of furniture or a television set. Or like that, and then don't worry about the fact about
I think you got me misunderstood.
Paul,
I wasn't saying that. What I was saying was this guy knew my mom's car was sitting right in front of the door. He went and kicked the door in, knowing she's 7 years old, lives by herself. Everybody in that neighborhood knows. He kicked the door in anyway, seeing the car, saw the light on, kept trying to kick the door in. He had bad intentions to harm my mom. Now, I said I'd go to jail with a smile. Of course I wouldn't. I got a life. I want to do things. But I'd rather go to jail than lose my mom. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. Now, I mean, at the end of the day, I think you're the same way. And I don't know if your mom is doing this, but if she is, 99.9% of people don't want to see nothing happen to the woman that raised him and helped them through their life. That's all I'm saying.
True.
Now,
and that's how I don't feel about my wife or kids.
And I'm single. But when I get married, I'm going to be the same way about my family. That's just
because,
that's all
you
I'm
don't
saying.
Understand
that's
that.
Not
you
on me. Hey, I like jail. I'm not a jail person. I'm not. But I will go if you call yourself wanting to get in there and rape or harm my mom. And it has happened. And people have been killed in my neighborhood that
so
I grew up in.
How's that going to help your mom if you're in jail? How's that going to help your mom?
Paul, you're reading too much into this, baby.
Yeah,
you're
doing
too
far.
Paul.
I mean, you're going way too far. Like, what are you trying to say? Like,
how's
he going to help his mom if he's in jail? Like, that's just. So what you saying, that you're going to let the guy kick the door in and come in there with a gun and kill you and you just going to sit there? You're going to kill him if you can.
Hey,
in Alabama, I can kill you once you come in my house. Actually,
if he come in my house, guess how they'll find us?
What?
Okay, my little mad dog will be in my hand, and it'll be pulled a couple times. I'll say he's going to weigh a little heavier. And he's going to be so heavy that I couldn't get him off top of me.
Because
he jumped me and I shot him.
Hold on,
guys. That's how that's going to work.
Hold on.
I'm telling it ahead of time. I'm sorry.
270.
If it ever happens, that's what happens.
270, your mic was on. I'm sorry. 240. 240-330. I got a local call. You push the button to talk.
Hello.
269, your mic is on. 267, your mic is back on. South Carolina, are you quiet again? Diva, your mic is on.
I was
I was never noisy.
Oh, that wasn't you? Somebody was out there.
No, that wasn't me.
Ain't
nobody going to own up to it, huh?
No, that's who was telling somebody he was going to whip their behind.
Well, listen, I'll be right back. I got to take a break. I'll see you on the other side of my break.
Alabama, you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you seem like a good brother, man. I seem like I just hear it in your voice, man, the resentment. It's legitimate resentment, I think, from what you've experienced with the black community. That's sad. It's true, but it's sad because I really, it really seems like in order for us to ultimately long-term get out of this mess, it's actually going to take brothers with the type of the passion and insight that you got, but seem like the black community done did you in, brother.
Well, not just that, man. I mean, I feel like at the end of the day, I can forgive and with time make wounds heal, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just talking about, I'm upset at this moment that someone purposely wanted to harm my mom knowing she was in the house.
But then
with people like the Black Panthers and things that they were doing, I don't agree with socialism, but when it comes to trying a lot of the good things, I find that as good. I think that's why I'm not against guns. I think, I'm not against it because I think we need to be able to police our own. Because guess what? Tupac said, look, a lot of us got jobs and we're good in our community. We live right next door to the rapists. We live right next door to the murderer. We're not rapists and murderers either. We don't want to have to deal with him. We go sleep at night with our doors bolted. Yeah, he gonna kick our door in. So that right there lets me know that we need to be able to police our own community if the cops aren't able or willing to do it. So I feel that way to a certain extent. Cause I feel like this situation right here, man, I wouldn't even be on this phone right now if she didn't have some stuff on her door to stop him from getting in.
But you know,
I wouldn't be on this phone.
Well, but also in terms of like the big cities, a lot of people are complicit with the street mentality. And the street mentality is one in which if someone believes that you have more than they do, then that person's going to try to take what you have. And you have situations where people have had their children killed inside their homes. People have had family members that have been mugged and robbed. So these type of things occur on a daily basis in most of these big cities.
Well, and I just want to know. I want to know who going to read the eulogy for this thing we call the black community. But one other thing, South Carolina, about the snitching thing. I think that the snitching thing is deeper than, people, maybe seeing somebody get hurt that shouldn't have gotten hurt. That's more so the bad relationship between the black community in general and the police department. Now, if you know anything about the streets, now I'm not just talking about you, South Carolina, I'm just in general. The snitching part comes to, for the most part, when somebody within the community has done something to, an organization, and they know they're going to get them back themselves. They don't even involve the community hold on, man. I'm almost done. Okay. And so, but in cases where, civilians are harmed, like you say, older people, something has been done, something to older people, a lot of those crimes do get solved because people do tell.
But also in terms of the snitching, the way it came from was that if two people were involved in crime and one person got apprehended by the police and they went to the police and they told on the other person that they were involved in crime with, then that person was considered to be a snitch. It did not apply to people who were not in criminal activity. But what has happened is these neighborhoods have identified with the criminals, and they try to protect the criminals from the police. And
watch what you're saying, but then watch First 48 and watch. You got First 48 every time you
coming from.
But every time you cut First 48 on, the police have informants that they are implanted throughout our community. We have informants that get out of jail, they'll kill somebody
but
and be out in 6 months.
But sir, they have a problem in this city where people who are witnesses to crime are being killed. And if people in the neighborhood know that somebody saw a murder go down and they go to the police station and they report it, the people in the neighborhood will tell the criminal who the witness is, and the criminals have been going out and trying to kill these people. And this has happened on such a large level, they have had to set up a witness protection program for ordinary residents. And normally in the past, the witness protection program was only for people that have been witnesses to mobsters involved in crime or people in organized crime. But now it's gotten so bad, they've had to expand it to people that have just witnessed crimes in the streets. And the reason why they had to expand it to that degree is because the neighborhood identifies with the criminal.
But what happens when you glorify that? What happens when we are? It's a big part of our culture now, to where
exactly.
I feel like it's a big part of us. It's a part of black people. When you say urban, you mean pants hanging low. You mean hair knotted. You ain't comb your hair. You mean blunt black and blue lips and that's what you mean.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But what I'm trying to say is the street mentality is black culture now. That is black culture. And especially in these urban,
the problem I have is why can't black culture be about a black young corporate urban guy? Why can't black culture be about a black guy that owns businesses, a black guy? We don't see that in videos. We don't see that on TV. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me make a point. 1 second. The videos that we see, that's what they aspire to be.
Yeah.
That's all I was trying to say.
Yeah, and see, the thing is this, is that you have these other ethnic groups that are over here now. They don't subscribe to these same values, but their skin is dark. And there's a backlash between the African-Americans and these people coming from Asia and from North Africa, and they have dark skin, but they don't identify with the black people. So now they have a conflict, they want to wonder who is black in America, because they have people that have dark skin, but they don't behave like the African Americans that are already here.
I don't feel sorry. That's what I'm saying. Like, how could an African? I know Africans that I've dealt with, that I talk to. They look down at a lot of African Americans. Because you own a braid. I know a guy own a braid shop. They come in there ask ignorant, and they're serious. They ask ignorant. You guys live in trees? Do you guys have bathrooms? I mean, real offensive. They talk down to people. I mean, when you're dealing with that type of people coming from where they come from, then I can see why. I mean, I would think the same way. I would. I mean, we have to step out of our own culture sometimes and say, well, I'm black, I'm African American, but I can see why certain people look at us a certain way.
Yeah, so what do y'all think the next 10 years look like for this thing we call African-American community?
It's about to go down. As soon as they pass the immigration, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. It's going to be all about the Hispanic.
It
is over for black
people.
It's
done. And I think it's really, we've always been in survival mode since we've been here. I think it's just going to be ratcheted up, you know, times three. But basically, I think it really is now down to the survival of the fittest as it relates to the black community.
But see, the real interesting irony about that whole thing is they voted for it. They voted to get somebody in there to pass immigration. We should have been against immigration.
Yeah.
That's one issue we should have really been vocal about. And what's interesting, even the unions aren't against immigration. This is going to – that's the nail in the coffin for black people.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Well,
I think when we start to hear,
because
they're not going to stop giving us these social programs, so we're never going to really get independent, because we're going to keep getting these social programs, so it's just going to keep us – it's going to hold us right where we are. And that's going to be –
They're going to start phasing them out. They are going to start phasing them out. But as they phasing them out, they're going to have alternative places, you know, for – the African American, which for the most part, I mean, it's full steam ahead, mass incarceration, and now the mass incarceration of black women. They say it's about to catch pace with black men. So, there's alternatives once they start cutting out these social programs, and you know, useless either. So, but I really do think that, I mean, it's down to really the survival. We've always been that way, but it really is down to the survival of the fittest in the black neighborhoods.
Well, also, like you said, the influx of immigration, and these immigrants don't have the same value systems as the African Americans, and it's a constant conflict all the time.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the reason why, you know, they want to question, well, who is black in America?
Here's the thing. You know, that's not a question. That's not a question in the white community. I mean, you can't say that all white people en masse hold the same value system. Why do we allow that tag to be put on us as black people?
We don't do that.
We don't do that.
That's what TV does. That's what the media does. That's what black entertainment television does. We don't make those sweeping generalities about our whole culture.
But here's the crazy thing about it. When that is done, we don't do anything about it.
We can't, because every time something happens, they put the phone, they put the microphone in front of us, dropping the eject to space.
They
tell us what they think.
But here's the thing, though. Putting the microphone in front of Jesse and them is not a mistake. In other words, they are I don't know what you call them. They're not even black leaders.
This is
a socially engineered product. They're not. That's right. They're not black leaders. See, we're the only community to have leaders. See, other communities got CEOs, institutions, teachers, you see, bankers. But when you come to the black community, they put the microphone in front of a black leader. No skill and nothing that got anything to do with nation building. No particular trades, right? Nothing. Leaders. What is that?
The reason why you had leaders is because the plantation system required you to have a straw boss to keep the other blacks in line.
Yeah, well, I don't need no history lesson, brother. I you know what I'm saying? I mean, it is what it is, right? But we're coming to the end game now. You know, we understand that. We're concluding the obvious, right? What is the end game?
The corner was turned when this guy got reelected. I know that sounds Republican of me, but I'm just saying, this guy, programs he's passing. Well, black people are more susceptible to diabetes, HIV, all these different diseases. And if they're going to start having panels making decisions, who they going to wipe out them? Who's going to have the less benefit? You get 50, 60 years old, they're like, well, we don't benefit from this guy. I mean, 50, that's what they said about my dad at the VA. So I think it's coming when you start talking about mass incarceration, mass destruction of black.
Yeah.
We're going to be the first people that they're gonna wipe out, and it's gonna be on your, and it's probably not even gonna make the news. That's
but
because
the
they own the media.
Here's the thing, Alabama. The one thing, if you study genocide and things of that nature, the people who it's happening to don't know it's happening until it's too late. In other words, there was never gonna be a sign. Nobody was ever gonna ride down the street with a bullhorn and say we're in the process of eliminating African Americans. It was never gonna happen anyway.
Hey, Doc, check it out. But they're doing it. It's right in the doggone Democrat Party platform. We're going to eliminate African Americans.
Okay, man.
It's called abortion.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood, and it was the plan of Margaret Sanger.
And it's working, baby.
Let me tell y'all in on a little secret.
We've got to do that, Joe.
Let me tell y'all a little secret.
240, your mic is on.
Oh, I just called to apologize. That rude comment came from me. I'm at work, and me and my partner are watching TV. We're watching the Jerry Springer show, and I got excited and I said something, and I didn't know you guys could hear me.
Tracy muted me.
I went, oh my God.
Hey, caller.
Yes.
You are the father.
and Tracy, we met for breakfast.
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I usually just listen to your show. I just like listening to it. I didn't know you guys could hear. I'm like, oh, and I told my partner, I think they heard me.
Oh, yeah. We heard you a lot. You know, Stanley comes in a little bit iffy every now and then just because of the way his mic works. But, yeah, you came in loud and clear. Good cell service.
Normally, I sit there and quiet and keep my mouth shut. And then I said, oh, I got so excited about what was going on, I just blurted it out. And I go, oh, man.
No, sorry about that. We got you.
It won't happen again.
That's all right. Hey, you doing pretty good?
I'm doing pretty good. Like I said, I enjoy listening to your show. You guys are doing a great thing.
So we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Hold on. 518, your mic is on.
Oh, it's just me. Now I'm listening to a whole bunch of lawyers and judges right now. I mean, you turn from murderers to killers to lawyers and judges. I'm trying to figure out which way are we going here. When are we going to talk about saviors, redeemers, reconcilers, and all of that stuff? When are we going to talk about that?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
You coming in? Yeah, you coming in tomorrow?
I'll call in.
Okay. Tomorrow. We're at the end of the show, guys, and it's been a great show. Wow, you guys have really made the time really went by fast.
Yep.
See what happens when Mrs. Sticks comes to work?
Yep. Got to keep her around.
Hey, Rick, you live in town. You didn't come hear me yesterday. I want to know why. It was right down the street from you, too. I don't understand.
I'm sorry. What happened yesterday? You spoke?
You know I preached yesterday. I want to know why you weren't there.
Yeah, I was too busy boycotting church. I'm sorry.
St. Mattress.
Hey, and the way that you were raised, I understand, Rick, but you got to get back in.
Did you hear Jeff's commentary on the Russian people?
Medvedev.
Who?
No. What did he say?
He made an announcement on TV that their country has files on alien or population in their country, and that they have a pact. Them and the United States and several other people have pacts with these people to more or less help them assimilate into our society, and many of them are in. Yeah.
There's a movie called The Arrival. Check it out. It's with Charlie Sheen.
Yes, it is. I've seen that movie. I'm gonna watch it again though. Some of these movies are very good.
Global warming, and how global warming is not just a natural thing, but what's happening with global warming, it's because the aliens were trying to assimilate their body structure so that they
were trying to make the Earth's atmosphere. They were trying to make the Earth's atmosphere theirs. But here's the thing on that. Many of the movies that are there are really good as far as what my research has done. Like he said, Men in Black was a documentary. Well, I think that's such a foolishness.
Who said that?
Medvedev, whatever his name is.
The quickest way to get people not to believe something is to tell the truth.
Well, this is truth.
Well, Behold a Pale Horse said the same thing, so it's kind of funny. He coming out and saying the same thing, and then killed a guy who wrote that book.
Well, I was watching a thing this weekend. It was about conspiracy theories, and there's a guy in Las Vegas that is building his own private space station.
Mm-hmm.
And if you report a UFO to the FAA, it tells you to refer to his company.
That's right.
And I can't remember the guy's name now. But
I don't remember his company, but I know that he's part of the this particular MUFON network.
Yeah, the Skinwalker Ranch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Them doggone Democrats, I tell you.
Hey! They're wicked, I tell you.
Appreciate all of you. We'll be back here tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you tomorrow.
How about Santa Claus?
No, not Santa Claus.
What's wrong with Santa Claus?
There's nothing wrong with Santa Claus.
Don't
but
you like Christmas?
Oh, I love Christmas, but you could be the postman.
A postman.
Oh, the postman always brings some mail. Through rain or snow or sleet or hail. I'll work and work the whole day through. Go get your letter safe.
'Cause the postman is the person in your neighborhood.
In your neighborhood.
He's in your neighborhood.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
A person.
person that you meet each day.
I'll see you around.
Hey, okay. Watcher, where are you going to, a fire?
Hey, speaking of a fire.
Fire? What fire? Help!
No, there's no fire at all, but you know who you could be if I gave you this little shiny red hat?
Yeah, Santa Claus.
No, not Santa Claus. No, no.
Red Riding
no, 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 not Red Riding Hood. You could be a fireman.
A fireman? Holy smokes.
Oh, a fireman is brave, it's said. His engine is a shiny.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. What's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery store.
Daniela Belonga, makers of kids' apps, told Today to do a better job communicating with parents or else. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
Without naming names, the Federal Trade Commission says it's investigating the makers of mobile applications for children. The FTC says too many fail to tell parents.